to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
See if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips. Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Numbers, in case you couldn't make it through all of our Gary's lasers and stuff there. Phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Washington, D.C., if you're listening on WJFK, your direct line is 202-432-1067. And from New York, your direct line, 877-692-1027. Enjoying an extra day in New York on this trip we are. Nice to be up at NEW, and let's say hello to Kindly Pops. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Now, I'm going to start today's show with a news item.
Okay, very good.
I hope I'm not stealing anything from Buzz's news.
That's fine. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, I remember yesterday on the show, incidentally, Buzz, that guy, the bus driver,
right?
We thought just had Alzheimer's.
Yeah. You left out the part about him having a shotgun in a bus.
That had not been discovered when we last spoke about that.
Yeah. I gave you the benefit of the doubt when we were having that discussion, incidentally.
Thank you.
But last night...
I didn't.
Last night...
Of course not.
No, it was, of course, but when we were on the air, the story about the old dude who took the bus from Pennsylvania to Maryland with the kids.
Yeah.
At the time that Buzz broadcast the story, it just appeared that it was so
bold. Buzz made it sound like it was, you know, a guy going out for a little joyride, when in fact it was major kidnapping.
We didn't know anything about his motive at the time. In fact, the bus had just been discovered when we discussed it
yesterday. I figured as much. I gave you the benefit of the doubt this time.
So anyway, hello everybody, and welcome to the show. Happy Friday!
Yeah,
here we are.
Don't forget today, Robbie.
Yes.
Schedule, okay?
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
Today we got so many things happening. I hate it when we have to stick to a schedule.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
But today
we're uncomfortable.
Let me tell you that you got to get the entries, and today's the last day. That we're actually, I guess, over the weekend. You could fax for the Las Vegas style show in your home. We're going to be announcing the winner on Monday's episode. We're going to try to devote some time today to read some of your entries.
Very good.
Our fax number, 800-636-6410. A week from tomorrow.
Yes.
Super Bowl Saturday. We're going to somebody's house.
Is that a week from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wow.
God. That's right. A week from tomorrow.
And then your party, your Super Bowl party is the day after.
Correctamundo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. Get ready for non-stop partying.
Laura, get the babysitter.
48 hours of non-stop partying. So we're coming to somebody's house to do the Las Vegas-style show on Super Bowl Saturday. Fax us a letter why we should be coming to your home. We're going to read some of them today, and we'll announce the winner on Monday when we read the ones that we deem to be the best. Boy, you know, I got so many great stories here today, just about Dolly Parton having had sex with a boy since he was 13 years old.
My God. Well, that part of the country she's from, that's the Smoky Mountains. That's okay.
Got a guy tried to bend a nail into a wall, but somehow the nail ended up in his hand and
ouch,
then in his forehead. But really, the
wow,
the best story that I have found in the news is this one, and it comes from, oh, let me see, I don't know where this, Syracuse, New York.
Ah, Syracuse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
A supervisor with the County Department of Social Services was charged.
Look at Buzz throw his, did you see Buzz throw his little card away?
You know, too bad, because frankly, sometimes I'm tired of playing Russian roulette with you on the news. Sometimes, like an OJ story, I let you have it, but
right,
then other times there's stories that I don't do, and then you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, you know, listen, we gotta have some better organization, because a lot of times when we get to Buzz, by the time we get to the news, we got no time for the news.
Yes.
Yesterday was one of the times. We get the Buzz. We got plenty of time for
news.
We get done with the first segment of news, and Buzz says to me, if you want to juke and jive, that's okay with me, because I'm about out. You and I got to start getting together on what stories you can have and what stories I can have, so that, you
well,
know.
Don't grab your story back, because sometimes you have stuff that's not in the original story.
We'll compare.
Well, I'm just going to give you the basics. And
this is Syracuse, New York we're talking about.
Yes. They arrested a dude named Ronald Castle, 54. He's been suspended without pay. He has been a county employee for more than 30 years. And what he has been doing is pleasuring himself into the coffee cups of co-workers.
Oh, my God. That is inappropriate. I'm glad we caught you early on that, Rob.
He has been into the coffee cups of co-workers. In a three-page statement.
While there's coffee in there?
No, like before they come to work.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, before they come to work.
So always check your coffee cup. That's the moral of that story.
In a three-page statement, he admitted tampering with not only with the coffee mugs.
Oh, not the machine.
No. Into the telephone.
Wow. Oh, that's a sick.
What he would do is he would and apparently he would do it all over the earpiece and all over the mouthpiece.
Oh, he's got issues.
Hello,
he's got issues with his issue.
He sure does. Of at least six female employees, he did this to for months and months and months.
I think he's got anger issues.
Co-workers are saddened by the news.
Saddened.
Gee, no S.
Really? Angered?
And I guess they caught him on videotape or something actually doing this.
Wow. Well, that'll be a Fox special coming up in a few months.
So that's our lead today.
Boy, wow.
You know, if you're at your office and you think, boy, man, this coffee doesn't taste right. Or perhaps...
this coffee's the best I've ever had.
or maybe if you, you pick up the telephone and you have trouble prying it away from your ear,
yeah,
and it like sticks to your ear. Or maybe if you're speaking into the mouthpiece and you go, salty.
Sure.
You know, watch it.
Right. I have to change that song lyric, "You're the cream in my coffee."
There's a guy out there. Imagine that. Now, we've had all the story. And 2020, for a while, was doing those exposés where they would show...
they'd show the co-worker.
They would show... And I think the best one ever was the Chinese food restaurant.
Yep.
Where the guy was...
Breaking into an apartment.
He was the super. Right. He was the super in the apartment.
Right.
And he went into this lady's apartment.
Right.
He'd open up the refrigerator and urinate into her Chinese food.
Didn't they have video of that?
They had videotape of him taking the Chinese food out of the foil container, taking the lid off, and then urinating on the... it was like one of those little foil packets.
Yeah.
You know, and no, it was the little...
the white thing.
No, it was not the white thing, because I remember this in great detail. I don't know why. But you know how in some Chinese restaurants you get the little plastic clear top?
Right.
And you've got the foil tray?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what was there. He couldn't risk doing it into the paper container.
I seem to remember, though, also the little white thing that has like the little Japanese house drawn on the side of it.
Maybe he did go into the pagoda cardboard.
Well, no, the videotape was not... Not
that clear. It was not. It was one of those from a distance videos.
It would look like saffron rice.
well, that is bad.
Or fried rice.
But that is not.
See a doctor.
That's not. I mean, can you imagine? For 6 months, this guy would go to work early in the morning.
Good morning.
He would sit at a different desk. He would, and then all of a sudden, you know, they. The explosion of his love.
That is mighty disgusting.
Yeah. Inside someone's coffee cup. And,
wow.
And speaking of an explosion of love, good morning, sunshine.
Lisa.
There she is. Lisa Hurd. I just want to say that she is a... how is it put this morning?
She is. It's always sunny when she's around.
It's always,
right? Is that how it was?
No. It was, I believe...
Something like, when I see you, I see sunshine or something, which is funny because I used to wish that was my real name.
Sunshine?
Or Ray.
Sunshine.
Not Ray.
No, not Ray.
Okay.
I remember another good one, too, as long as you're on the topic. There was a guy who used to go number one into a giant vat of Tupperware.
Right.
Oh, wait, that was G. Gordon Liddy.
There you go.
He would do that on his radio show.
He's not crazy.
He did that in front of Chris Matthews from Hardball one time.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about workers peeing on stuff.
I don't know. Hey, now listen.
No, I'm not saying nothing.
You let me know. I'm ready to...
No, not necessary.
I'm ready anytime
you are. I know you are.
Anytime you are, man.
No. Nothing anybody ever ate.
No, that's true. No.
Right.
But remember that time with Frank.
Yeah. Yeah, soda machine. We better not.
Oh, come on. We're close enough.
No.
We're close enough.
Bad idea. You might have told it already.
I don't think I did.
No.
Ever tell that story?
No. You know, that's. I don't know if the statute of limitations has run out on that.
Come on. It's over 15 years ago.
Yeah, but I still think it's a felony.
Really? It's not a felony.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's not a felony to sit at a desk. We were very unhappy where we were working.
Yes.
Let me just say that. And we, you're right. Maybe I shouldn't tell the story.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't tell it. Yeah. We were very unhappy. We would, well, you know what we can definitely tell, though?
Why are you using the word we so often?
The one I could tell.
There is a we involved when it we're talking about the heating element.
We can talk about
that
one.
That's a we with me.
Okay, we can talk about that one.
A lot of we.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
can talk about that one, right?
Yeah, we pee on the heater. Because we were unhappy there. And in the morning, we'd pee on the heater.
Isn't that something of a risk?
They had a... No. In the bathroom...
I think it was a steam heater.
At radio station...
Not electric.
WAVA. It was like one of them old-time heaters. One of those big metal jobbies. A radiator-type heater. And what we would do is we hated working there so much.
We'd pee on the heater.
We wanted to get out of our contract. We would leak all over the heater.
Not all the time.
Well, no, every once in a while.
Every once in a blue moon.
And then the heat would come on, and by the time
the heat would come on, it would be so nasty.
The office staff would come in, and...
Well, they were downstairs, most of them, but the people that were on the second floor would get the benefit of that.
Like the general manager and the program director.
Sales manager.
They'd come in, and they'd go, wow, what the hell
what
is that?
What the heck is that going on?
That smell of the men's room.
We'd have big laughs, big guffaws.
There we go. Gee, I...
Don't think we were ever jeopardizing anybody's health, though.
I don't think so, no.
Safe.
Yeah. There's only one person's health we ever jeopardized, and that person worked with us.
Yeah.
And you know what? And
that's the story I wouldn't tell.
That, even though that's not a we story, that's a we story in the fact that we never went to that person to say,
no,
guess what?
No, I was right there. I was there. I'd be just as at fault. From that one, that's the one we shouldn't tell. That's one we should take to our grave or put in the book.
What about the other one?
Well, there are a couple of them.
Well, now what?
You know, there are like three or four.
Man, well, I'm thinking.
All right, let me tell you something. There's one about that guy that we worked with. Then there's about another guy that we worked with. Okay.
Wait, hold on. Who are you talking about?
Hi.
Sunshine.
What about the? Did we do that to him too?
I gotta write something down here.
Are you talking about the pizza?
No.
No?
Well, I think I know this one.
No, I'm talking about that.
You might be writing down one
I'm
that we...
talking about that. Okay.
You know what? God,
that's a real bad one right there.
No, no, no.
That's a real bad one.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's the best one, but you better not tell it.
That's the best one.
That's, and then there was the...
well, now, I know what you're going to write about.
And there was that one.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of.
Well, that one you can tell. That didn't hurt anything.
Oh, but no, the other one is so much better.
But you can't tell the other one.
Sure I can.
No, you're talking about people, you know.
Well, no, no one knows who we're talking about.
Well, maybe now they do.
No, I don't think they do.
I don't know. That's a very bad story. That was a very bad thing that was done.
I'm not
very
sure bad. It ever happened.
Very bad.
That's right.
Well, let me just say again, in our behalf, that we were much younger.
Yeah.
Much more juvenile, and
we would almost try to impress each other with juvenile stunts.
Very angry at the fact.
Oh,
that
very, very angry
that we were stuck working at a radio station we hated working at, and there were some disc jockeys there that we didn't like. And one time, there was a disc jockey who would, first off, he would do like Nutrisystem commercials.
Oh, God.
While he was eating candy on the air. As he was doing the diet commercials, okay, he'd be eating candy on the radio. Okay?
Okay.
And he would also eat donuts.
Oh, my.
While he would do these commercials. And he was very protective of his donuts. He would come into work, and he would have a box of donuts, and if anybody dared eat one of his donuts,
he'd get upset.
He'd get very mad.
Right.
He'd get very upset.
Sure.
So one day, out of the box of
donuts. You say we.
No, okay, I will say this. Say I. out of the box of 12 donuts, I took one donut.
Okay.
And what I did was I walked down to the urinal and simply dipped one end of the donut
right
into the urinal and stood there for a minute and waved.
Was that post flush or pre flush?
That was pre flush.
Ah!
Oh. No. I mean, there had been no business going in there. So,
but it was post flush.
Yep. So,
okay. You gotta be real careful with that.
Whatever was, I mean, I didn't go number one and dunk
it
in.
No, it was
my
water. Water was put in the clear water.
In the toilet water. Okay. Right? So,
like anything a dog would drink out.
So
right.
I dunked just a quarter of it in there.
Right.
And waved it around in the air and waited for it to dry. And then what we did was we went back. We were all involved in this, putting it back in the box.
Ah.
Putting the donut in the box, and then through the glass, watching him eat the donuts, imagining.
I think you and the aforementioned guy, that the other guy that we had fun with, put it in the box, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
Mr. Saint?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. It was,
because I came down and it was like later on,
yeah,
you two were cackling and said, look, and then I joined you in looking through the glass.
Yeah, it might have been someone from the management team that was in on that one with
right.
me. As we stood behind this glass and just watched this guy doing his show, never knowing, because he would eat an entire box of donuts while he was on the air.
Right.
Always wondering as he would take one of the donuts and bring it to his mouth, which one might the magic one be? We never knew.
You know, just cackling the whole time.
We never knew. All we know is that at the end of his show, the box was empty.
There you go.
So that's a
fascinating little story.
That's the story. But there are others we could tell.
Yes.
But, you know, you're probably right. We probably should.
Well, the desk
not.
One wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was.
I think it was.
See, that's interesting. You tell that one with reckless abandon, but the one about the desk,
well, what
when they finally had to get a repairman to come. There's a water leak back here.
People are going to hate us.
I know.
They're just going to hate
it's
us.
Horrible. Sorry, we marked our territory at that radio station.
A lot of disgruntled workers in America.
Of course.
The worst one is the one that I think we're agreed that we can't talk. The one that involved the someone who worked with us.
Absolutely.
But that's the best one.
Yeah, have a Coke and a smile.
That's... Now, see...
I'm not saying anything.
You know,
I didn't say anything.
You
by
don't
that.
Want me to tell the story.
I didn't say anything.
And then you know what? You're as bad as Lisa with Scott Farrell. You open the door.
I didn't say anything.
You open the door just that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you do.
Well, that's enough of that.
We were, suffice to say, we were pretty awful people.
Yeah.
And if you worked at that radio station 16 or 17 years ago and you are still alive today,
if you have any health problems, please give us a call.
Yeah. If you're alive today, consider yourself among the lucky. Because we did all kinds
of things. We didn't do nothing. I deny everything.
Somebody did some stuff.
Yep.
That's all.
I know. Somebody did.
A deny-all.
Guilty of entertaining.
Right. That's quality entertainment.
Guilty of making people feel good.
You know, when you have a morning show, this is for you, you know, young people in the audience. You pretty much... at a radio station, you got the run of the place.
That's true.
That's why we're always freaked out when we come in after the weekend, because we wonder what the hell goes on. You know, it's the overnighters that are even worse than that.
True. I mean, you get to a radio station at 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. I mean, they ain't nobody there.
Right.
I mean, you can virtually... You have your run of the place.
You can do anything you want.
I mean, we did and the stuff
go through
that,
everybody's desk.
And we did a lot of stuff that we don't mind talking about. Like, what we would do is get spam, open up a can of spam, and take the spam out and hide it in the cushions in the general manager's couch in his office.
Took tuna sandwiches and put them between his desk chair. The cushion on his desk chair and the bottom of his desk chair.
And it would take normally like 2 or 3 weeks until the food stuff would start to rot.
And you'd walk in there and you'd have a meeting and we would just be absolutely cracking up. Because it would smell like a cafeteria. And we would always bring it up too, like, what's that smell, Al? And he said, I don't know. I have no idea what that smell is. And we would be... enjoying the fact that, you know, he was so out of it that he hadn't even looked in between his cushions.
Spam and tuna are funny.
Right.
Exactly. All the stuff that happened there was funny. All the stuff that happened there.
And there wasn't a paper, a document, an inter-office memo that we did not know. I mean, you knew everything about that radio station.
They wondered how...
You knew everything about every salesperson.
They wondered how, when they were, like, going to sell the station and that they were going to change the format, that...
Right.
They wondered how, when Mike and I would get summoned to the meeting, we would know all the information already.
We'd know everything. We would know everything because, I mean, that every commercial break every morning, I mean, it would not be a commercial break. It would be recon time.
Right. It would be, hey, come here, look what I found here. Yeah. And a lot of times... That's part of the reason we hated working there was we would see the memos.
Oh, yeah.
That the company was writing about us, like
about us.
Oh my God, I can't believe how out of control this show is.
Right.
And these guys are absolutely loose cannons. Somebody has to do something about them.
It was truly amazing.
So anyway,
finding out that a locked door didn't mean anything.
Certainly not.
That's for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, locked doors. Well, I mean, this building was cheap. I mean, you didn't have to. You know, you didn't have to be James Bond to get into a locked door in that building.
No, you didn't.
And if you really had trouble doing that, then you had people on your staff that could actually go through the drop ceiling and go over the wall and come back down in there.
Wow.
Charlie.
It happened.
Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill,
Charlie Broyhill, who was really the cat burglar of the whole operation.
You ever seen that movie Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise?
Charlie Broyhill was the ultimate cat burglar.
Early in management.
Charlie Broyhill would actually... get up on a chair, pop a ceiling tile,
and go right over the wall of the door.
Climb through the framework of the building.
Right.
Pop a ceiling tile.
And come down on the other side.
On the other side and open the door for us.
Because when you'd have this brilliant management team that we had, you would have them lock a door if there was seriously important stuff they didn't want us to get to. Because everybody after a while knew that we were looking at everything. And so they'd lock a door, and then it just became more of a challenge. So wasn't there one time when there was like a chair on the door, too, on the other side, and Charlie was laughing when he got over on the other side.
Yeah, because he would open the door and he'd say, look at this. Not only did they lock it, but
they put a chair at the door.
Dumbasses put a chair up against the door.
How would they expect to get back in if they put a chair on their own door?
Yeah, see, they were stupid. But they'd open it and then they'd kind of jar it loose.
Yeah, but
like,
you know,
that.
Now that I think about it, how would they manage to lock the door?
There'd have to be two doors.
Yeah.
Were there two doors in the office?
All I know is when it was, it got more difficult to get in those doors, and that's when Charlie started going through the ceiling.
climbing through the ceiling.
Lowering himself on a rope.
Funny. He was the ultimate. He would be, he knew everything. If we knew a little bit what was going on, he knew everything. He knew how to get into every desk. He knew he was the cat burglar.
Absolutely. Although he never joined us for...
No, he didn't. He wasn't about that. That wasn't his thing.
Drew
no. I mean, there were, you know...
Now, that was just juvenile BS. That
each of us had a different responsibility when it came to taking that radio station apart.
You remember when I broke the window with the hockey puck?
Sure.
taking a slap shot at Dennis Reese, one of our sales executives, and we were going back and forth slapping this hockey puck down in the hallway, and so I just reared back and hit it as hard as I can, and he had to hit the floor, and as he hit the floor, it went through the window on the other side.
It was an accident, but to tell you what a bad radio station this was, I'm not kidding, for 3 months in the dead of winter.
3 months we had cardboard.
There was a piece of cardboard and duct tape. They never bothered to get the window replaced.
Of course. And that was the lunch area back there, so you'd go down and you'd freeze if you were going to eat your lunch back there.
Wow. Thanks, Mike.
No wonder you were angry.
And I exploded the window. I mean, just shattered it.
Exploded.
There were holes in the wall.
Oh, absolutely. Stains.
It was at one point, there's a hole in the wall between our office and the program director's office. And he wanted to have, what they did was, instead of fixing the hole, what they did was they put...
And didn't it get there because he got mad and, like, punched it?
Yeah.
Right.
So what they did, they just put a poster up. And when it was time for a meeting...
Like the Shawshank Redemption.
What we did in our office... We never had the hole fixed because it was kind of a tribute to the fact that the program director got so mad at us one day, punched the wall, and punched all the way through. So on his side...
Didn't he try to repair it, and we broke through it a couple of times while he was trying to repair it?
Yes. So what he did was he had a poster, and he put a poster up.
Right.
And on our side of the wall, we refused to let them fix it. We wanted it left as a tribute to, wow.
He'd always ask, did you get that wall fixed? We were like, yeah, it's fine, no problem. We had a poster over it.
But for a while...
So it was paper thin on one side.
For a while, there were posters on both sides of the wall.
Right.
And because his wasn't fixed originally. If he would want to talk to us, he would take out the four push pins, and he would actually put his head through the holes in the wall that he had made, and would say, hey, Don and Mike, would you mind coming in here for a moment for a meeting?
And on our side of that wall, we didn't even have the ceiling tile replaced, because Charlie went back and forth between those offices so often.
That was his entrance.
It's amazing. Amazing facility. I mean, not a real well-constructed building either, you know.
No, goddamn. Well, think how many times, really, outside of, like, the program director getting mad at us and punching the wall, think, like, when guys would be pushing each other around, just goofing around, and you would fall against the wall, and seriously, like, half the wall would fall apart.
Yeah, you'd cave in the wall, the drywall, the flimsy drywall that was done. You know, that's the advent of the aluminum studs.
Right. And listen, I know we got a break. I know we have a guest here, and we're going to stay on schedule, but I'll just say the greatest moment ever in that radio station was when they were going to finally start to rebuild some of the walls, and they were going to just redo the place, and there was an office they went into, and they lifted up the ceiling tile, and got poured.
Like just the most disgusting pornography you've ever seen.
I mean...
Fat Asian women.
Lots of them.
Oh, no!
Yeah, like yellowed pages. Just disgusting.
I don't want...
brings us.
We can't mention the name.
No, we can't, because one time we mentioned his name and
we got threatened to sue.
He called up and he said he would sue us. But there was someone who worked at the station, and what they were doing was
had a porno stash in the drop ceiling that was just like weighing the ceiling down.
Wow.
It was one of those deals where you reached around and found it. It was one of those deals where they were doing some kind of repair and they went up through the drop ceiling and all this stuff poured out.
And
like they found a nest up there.
It was like, you know, Asian Boy Monthly or whatever the magazine was. They were all over the place.
I mean, magazines from the 70s.
Wow. Yeah.
Incredible.
Old magazines.
You know, a real saver. He hadn't given back any porn.
No, he didn't.
He kept every bit of it up there.
Okay, listen, we're going to stick to our schedule.
Very good.
The lady from Playboy is here. You know, we covered nothing in the first break that I thought we would cover tonight.
But it was a nice trip down memory lane.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there are many more stories that you've not heard yet.
Yeah.
Wait for the box set.
Many, many more stories.
That's right.
Another day, another time.
Absolutely.
Now let's clear them out and get a call. 100, start today's show. Phone number 877-365-3636. You dial recklessly, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Them for being human. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Amen. Excuse us. And I gotta tell you something here with the caller 100 situation. We need some prizes, man.
Are we still in a problematic situation with prizes?
Yeah, beyond problematic. We are,
no more tax kits?
Yeah, we got plenty of tax kits, and I'm just going to have to, I have to go to the old wallet. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Cola 100.
Do you want me to put together a CD six pack?
No need, Rob. Hi.
Okay.
Who is this, please?
Al, how are you?
Al, hi, we're great. Where are you from?
New York.
Al, I'll give you $100.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks.
I mean,
hey, now there you go.
No offense to these fine prizes. I'm going to hold them up now. You guys can see that we've been...
Contact, tax kit. Do you believe in miracles? The Olympic hockey team video.
Right.
From 1980.
Right. We need some better prizes. So,
do you believe in miracles? Yes, the miracle of no prizes.
Enjoy $100 in cash. And thank you for listening to the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got it. Hold on.
The miracle of the tax kit.
Thank you. Hold on just a second. I mean, I'm glad to give that stuff away. But sure. We need some variety.
More.
Variety is the spice of life. The queer duality, if you will, of doing a contest on the Don and Mike radio show.
Don, if you will, the queer duality of life.
Yes. I will. Joining us now.
Oh, you got the music?
I'll bring it, yeah.
Hey, there it is.
There's our sex music.
More fun and more thrills.
Let's bring in, I forgot this lady's name. Oh, Laura.
Laura.
Laura from Playboy Magazine.
Laura from Playboy.
And let me get a good look at Laura and say, hi, Laura. Well, you certainly, wow. Hi there.
Have you ever been in the magazine?
No, I have not. But thank you for asking.
Well, you really could be.
You're very kind.
I think we mentioned this yesterday. Playboy's looking for gals 18 and over to be tested for a two-hour TV show called Who Wants to Be a Playboy Playmate, and it's from the people who brought you The Real World.
Is this open to men as well as women?
I would say no. Sorry, I would have to say no on
just
that.
Just checking.
So, in essence,
I know Rob is always
waiting for the proper reality outlet for me.
Right.
What it's going to be is you'll be following around these girls as they go through whatever tasks they have to go through to get in Playboy.
We're basically doing this six-city search. You know, we get tons of phone calls all the time. I'm like, what's it like to work at Playboy? How can I be in the magazine? And there's so much interest, and you know, reality TV now is where it's at, so why not?
Okay, here's a question.
Sure.
What TV now? Are you going to run this on the Playboy channel?
It's not going to be on the Playboy channel.
Is it going to be on regular TV?
It will be on regular TV.
I'd love to see it on the Playboy channel, because then you can do more stuff.
So what are you going to do? You're going to pixelate out the raspberries and the privacy?
Well, I would have to say most likely.
Since we're talking about this, about some sort of reality program on the Playboy channel? Because I know now, on the Playboy channel, the most popular shows are kind of almost a reality-based, those girls that interact with the callers and stuff like
that.
Right,
and there's another show this past year that was pretty popular, Seven Lives Exposed,
which
sort of planted cameras in a home, and there, you know, you could go online and vote for what you wanted them to do.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
It'll be pixelated out, but they'll show whatever they have to do to, and one girl will actually get in the magazine.
Yeah, basically, you know, it's going to be real world in the sense that these 12 women that are picked from this Playmate search will live in a house together. So the cameras will be planted, the crews will be following them.
Cool.
Yes, behind the scenes, and they'll take them to the Playboy studio for their test shoots. You
to
know,
the mansion.
To the mansion.
To have surround bed.
For sure.
And at some point, you got to think, even if you're going to run this on regular TV and pixelate out the raspberries and the privacy, you got to have like an uncensored version that you're going to maybe sell on DVD.
Turn into a video.
I think it's quite possible.
I think that's quite possible.
I think I could give advice to any woman who wanted to be in a magazine, who was obviously had the right attributes, the attractive level and all that. I would say, really, if you want to fast track to the magazine, you sleep with Hep. Isn't that really the way to do
it? I don't know about that.
Hello, this is Hugh Hefner. Come to the mansion.
The Bronto.
You don't know that. You don't know about that for sure. Well, obviously, you work for Hugh Hefner, so you can't say anything.
I do. I don't know about that for sure.
I'm kidding, of course.
I'm here in New York, so I'm safe and tucked away.
How many girls who work for Playboy don't get naked?
How many girls who work for
Do you have a lot of women in the company?
We have a lot of women in the company, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it Christy Hefner? Hefner. Is she still running things?
She is the CEO of our company.
Ah, okay, mm-hmm. So she's still, and she's running, you know, it's been quite successful since
she's
took
fantastic.
Over, right?
She's fantastic, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very successful.
So what do you say when one of those tight-assed broads finds out you work for Playboy? And, you know, you get the thing where you're at a cocktail party or something, and they go, Playboy, how could you work there? That's exploitation of women.
Yeah, what do you do? I mean, do you get that a lot when you're out at parties and stuff like that?
You know, you would be. I thought that I would get it a lot. I think I get it a lot less than I expected to, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Good.
And more times than not, I get, wow, you know, how can I work for Playboy or how can I be in Playboy?
What's the best thing about working for Playboy?
Working for Playboy.
Well, come on, be specific. What's
any particular perk? Do you get to go on the jet or anything? Do you still have the jet?
No jet. There's no jet.
No more jet?
So what's the perk? What's the biggest
downsizing?
Perk?
I hate it.
Well, the great part about working for Playboy is, you know, doing stuff like this, getting out. I mean, it's such a great brand. It's so popular. You can virtually go to just about any corner of the world and everybody knows the bunny, so
yeah.
It's just a great brand. And it's
you've been to one of them pajama parties?
I haven't been to one of those.
You yet, haven't?
But I will be. We're having a pajama party at Super Bowl.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Heard.
Yes.
Playboy Mansion South.
All right, let me ask you a very important question, a question that really, I think, has come up more in the last year than it has in the past. How do we get invited to the mansion? How do we get into the mansion?
Well, yeah, Dick Van Patten has told us he can get us in.
But we're really realizing that maybe, you know, that's not the best route to go. We need some sort of... Now, do you have the kind of power where, you know...
I'm here for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's really a goal of the show, is to go out to the mansion, to be out at the mansion. Yes. I mean, I'd like to... I think before I die, I'd like to see the grotto.
No, as you can see, I hold in my hand...
That is the new issue.
The new Playboy with Dee Dee Skank. Dee Dee Pfeiffer.
Dee Dee Pfeiffer, that's Michelle Pfeiffer's naughtier sister.
Now, I'm going to offer something good about Playboy that I like, and then I'm going to offer some constructive criticism.
Okay.
Both of them involve another rival magazine.
Okay.
One thing I do like about Playboy is the fact that you don't have girls going number one. Okay? In the other one...
Prude.
All right, well, listen, I don't want to see that.
You are such a prude.
That doesn't turn me on to see a girl squatting. It
doesn't turn me on either.
You're going number one. However, I do know that when I get the Playboy, and you guys are nice enough to, supply us with the magazine, I get the Playboy Forum, okay?
You don't like the Playboy Forum?
Listen, when I get the Playboy Forum, okay, you know what I want? I don't want to hear about tales from the Vietnam era. You know what I want? I want a lot of the... She walked in, and then, you know, she did this to me, and then there was an explosion.
Well, there is that sometimes, isn't
of
there?
Of love. Well, in
there's
this...
something for everyone in the forum.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not in this one, honey. In this one is the one I'm reading. And trust me, I have scoured it. I shipped out for Vietnam during the spring of 68. The next
Well, doesn't he get to the girls at some point?
I was amused and envious as I watched the bare white asses of my men bobbing up and down in the pucker brush through the lens of our starlight scope.
Are you reading the whole? Have you read the whole thing?
Yes.
Well, what's it about?
It's about this guy feels bad. This guy's writing that he feels bad that the Vietnamese whores charged $3 for the love. That's what it's
because he wanted them to charge more?
No, the services offered being cost $3, and the girls themselves are not bad looking, wearing tight shorts. Still, I resisted.
It's kind of a morality story.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let me see. And then you've got...
You feature the occasional morality tale.
Yeah, I for one, don't want it.
You can better yourself.
You know,
exactly.
Even here, though, let me read you another one.
Okay.
A guy who's in Okinawa, and he writes, I found sexual release in a limited fashion, which is exactly what I wanted. Picture a large, white-tiled room with a huge bathtub and a shelf to lie on. Picture a woman in a skimpy bathing suit who gives you shampoo and lets you soak in the tub and pulls you out, only to pour buckets of warm water all over you as she soaps your horny body. The manual release was divine, the oral sensational, and I wish to this day that we had bathhouses in every city center here. Now, what I wanted
What's wrong with any of that?
Mike, I want more detail than
that. Yeah, he kind of got right to it.
As I'm scanning the page, I mean, what am I going to do? I keep going, okay, in a busy suit, the manipulation was divine. Okay, is that good?
So I understand what you want. You want more erotica.
Yes.
That's quite simple. That's
absolutely
what he wants.
That's
you'll pass that along to your superiors?
I will absolutely take that back.
That's what I like from the Playboy forum. That's what I like from the other magazine's forum. That's what I like from your forum. I appreciate the fact that you don't have girls going number one.
Do you do more photo shoots on the East Coast or West Coast? Or is it pretty much all over the country?
It is all over the country. Yeah. And this Playmate Search is in six cities, so yeah, they're typically all over the country.
Will the Playboy clubs ever come back, do you think?
That is a good question.
Because, I mean, I know in the 60s and the 70s, that was very cool.
That was where it was at. There was one right on the street.
Mm-hmm. So what are the? I know New York is one of the cities. What are the other cities?
We did Phoenix yesterday. We have Cleveland, Miami, Atlanta, and Chicago also coming up through this next week.
Okay. And you know what else? I just want to say one other thing about the magazine. That as long as you're
totally,
here,
you know, I'm while you have my ear.
I'm a fan of this.
That's cool.
What are you getting to with this?
Here's my thought. I don't, on one hand, like in the other magazines, yes, I don't need it to be a gynecological examination. Okay?
You are such a prude.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need to see, you know, legs akimbo and virtually be able to.
Well, then you would like Playboy.
Well, no. And look in there and see a girl's tonsils, okay, where you see all the way up to her tonsils. But on the other hand, take a look at this. Now, the centerfold, the Miss February centerfold.
Oh, that is a great centerfold.
Well, no, sure. I want to see a little bit more of her privacies than that. You understand?
Don't you see it on the. Boy, she does have a great body.
It's a beautiful photo.
Yeah, but look, you hardly see her privacy at all. I mean, you see her boobs and everything.
Have you been to photo shoots? Have you been to photo shoots?
I've been to a couple of the photo shoots.
What are those like?
It's very intense.
Really?
It's very serious, very intense. As you can imagine, many, many people behind the scenes.
Right.
People usually like hangers-ons?
No hangers-ons.
So people breathing heavily.
So I guess what I want is, I want some more privacy, but not as much as the other ones offer. I mean, like,
less war stories, more love.
Yes, and,
is that what you're saying?
For instance,
that's the summary.
Well, no, you did a nice job here with Michelle Pfeiffer's sister. Can you tell me the rationale behind putting Michelle Pfeiffer's sister?
Dee Dee?
Yeah, in the magazine. Really, I'm not busting your balls.
No.
What is the rationale? And they did a nice job here. See, they're showing enough of her privacy. That's all I want to see.
Right.
I don't even want to think about what might be going on in there.
Is that a younger sister or an older sister?
Younger sister.
Younger sister.
And that would be the rationale. You know, she's a younger, up-and-coming star. You know, she's got a show on television.
A little naughtier than Michelle, maybe? Or so we think.
And I'm guessing the rationale is you think this is probably as close as you're going to get to seeing Michelle Pfeiffer naked, right?
Well, she's a young celebrity in her own right as well, and you know she's getting a lot of attention with her show on TV.
She has some nice boobs, though.
Is that a real tattoo?
You've just answered the question. Mm-hmm. She's quite beautiful.
Is that a real tattoo, do you think?
I think it is.
On her ass?
Mm-hmm.
You're being wonderful answering all our questions.
Oh,
you've been
problem.
Completely unfazed by us.
No, yeah.
This is very good.
Oh,
just
good.
Telling you exactly.
I can help out.
Telling you exactly what I think. Also, I can lose the stuff at the end. Like, frankly, I don't care what this DA from Spin City, Richard Kind. I don't care who his favorite playmates are. Okay, you know.
Now that's a guy, but he's been to the mansion.
A big probably
dumbass. I mean, that's the kind of guy that gets to go to the mansion.
Very popular
from Spin City. I want to go
to the mansion.
And now,
preferably when there's a pajama party.
Yeah. Now this I do like. I like the feature where it's like where you get pictures of girls, some of them who are getting naked on purpose, and other times where it's like Nicole Kidman, where it's a picture where you can kind of see through her shirt.
Yeah, that has always been one of my favorite. Grapevine has been around for a long time.
It has.
That's a good feature. And it's Monica Keen from Dawson's Creek.
Can I see her?
And what's great is that she's wearing a shirt with no bra, and you see her boobs right through the shirt. There she is right there. Yeah.
Great angle.
That's what I like. And same with Nicole Kidman. We're right here. I mean, even though you could see him in movies, of course.
You know, you like this.
This, I'm telling you, right, I'm giving you
that's fantastic.
This completely contradicts your earlier.
No.
More is more.
No. No, these are all celebrities. These are people the famous people.
But celebrity. Remember, totally cool. Too much is too much.
Too much is too much. There is a lot going on here.
But I want more.
Well, I would lobby for much more in Playboy. Much more.
I want
getting conflicting messages.
Well, that's me, and we don't agree on everything.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of a connoisseur of the erotic arts.
Fantastic.
What can I say? You know, I believe that our society in general is far too restrictive.
Amen.
That is just my thank you, Buzz. I know you agree with me.
Absolutely.
I'm a little conservative. This country.
I'm just telling you.
The two Quakers over here probably feel differently.
No. All I'm saying is,
for God's sakes, don't show any of the butt.
Playboy is.
Can I take a look?
Sure. Let me ask you something, personally.
Yes.
Do you consider the butt to be an exit or an entrance?
Oh. I can't say I've ever been asked that question. I guess and it's all in the eye of the beholder.
What about for you personally? I mean, because I'll tell you, for me personally, it's an exit.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good girl. Yeah. That's
kind of
traditional. That's good.
You know, I think you're just, the fact that you're so hung up on that means that you think of it as
you
desperately want you want to have it touched when you're having sex.
Bring it up a lot.
I've never said that on the show, but I'm going to say it now once and for all.
You just mentioned the butt, and furthermore, he touches his wife's butt while he's having sex with her.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
You know what? Yes, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Gross.
Oh, please.
Gross.
Come on now. Come on.
Gross. And I don't want to see ass either. I mean, I like seeing ass.
Gosh, it's all over the place.
I like seeing the outside of the ass.
Okay.
I don't like seeing the inside
of
the ass.
I got it. That's the message I take back with me.
Now, what are we promoting here? I've completely forgotten.
We're not promoting tonsils.
We are promoting the...
I know what we're not promoting. Correct.
The Playboy hunt for girls in New York.
Correct.
So for the girl,
so how is this going to work? How is this going to work?
It's at our office.
So oh, really?
Yeah.
Need any help that day?
We're right down the block.
It's at 730 Fifth Avenue.
That's correct.
And it's
all day, 9 to 5.
9 to 5, and it's next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
31st.
So girls, just show up and I think
guys,
really
bring your girls.
Also, we should be honest here. No, yeah. No pigs need apply, right?
Be ready to pose in a two-piece bathing suit.
Okay.
So you look good in a bathing suit, obviously.
Okay.
So you're looking for big girls?
Be very PC. Bring a two-piece bathing suit.
But no, but come on, no pigs. I mean, if you're fat like us, don't show up. Right? Could we say that?
Are you looking for any, comic relief in the house? Anybody that would add something? Like Don and I maybe being the janitors? The wacky janitors in the house or something
that? You know, as the day goes on, we probably could use some comic relief.
As the day goes on.
About 3, 4 o'clock.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Don.
Yes.
You're ticking me off, man.
Why?
You're such an effing Puritan.
I agree. Why am I a Puritan? I don't want to see all the
women. When you're afraid to have sex, do you put a sheet over each other so you don't see each other and you just get the deed done and that's it?
No, you know what? When I have sex with my wife, incidentally, you're looking at a 20-year veteran, a successful marriage here. When I have sex with my wife...
Okay, bring that up.
Well, I'm sorry,
you're starting to work me on that, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No.
Mine's going to survive. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Now, you're the one paranoid.
Mine's going to survive.
You're the one who's paranoid.
We're going through a rough patch, but I swear to God, it's going to work out.
I only brought it up for Laura's... which is Nellie's, Mike's wife's name.
Yes.
I only brought it up for this Laura's notice that I have been having sex with the same woman for 20 years, and I don't want to see... inside there.
Oh, come on.
Don, you're telling me
you don't want to rumble down the old colon trombone down there?
No, are you?
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Listen, come on.
Let me explain to you.
It's just that tight, nice haze.
No, let me explain to you something about my wife and about
colon
all women and all men.
Jesus.
I'm going to generalize for men and women here, both for gay men and for hetero men and women. Here's how it works. You eat food. Okay, then you digest the food.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that.
Now, let me finish.
You're making it ugly.
The food then, it goes through your system. No, no. And where the food comes out of your body, I don't think you should be putting your privacy or putting your mouth. That's a dirt.
All right, Don. Goodbye.
You shouldn't have your mouth, your fingers, your
There's nothing wrong with a little healthy exploration.
No, right. Sorry.
Sexually.
Speaking. Sorry. Laura, how do you weigh in on this? Not you as Laura from Playboy, but you as Laura the person.
Yes, very good question.
About healthy exploration?
Yes.
I think if a couple is comfortable with healthy exploration, then I support it.
There you go.
100%.
And you yourself, do you have a boyfriend? Are you married?
I have a boyfriend.
You have a boyfriend.
I do.
Let me just ask you, if you're in the throes of lovemaking with him, and he did the old reach around, and all of a sudden you felt that happening, what would you do? What would your reaction be?
That's a very good question.
I can answer that for you. I can answer that for you. In the heat of passion, it probably wouldn't matter much, right?
That's a good point.
Thank you.
I reckon it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. You reckon it would? Well, you little whore.
Oh, no!
Here I was thinking. Here I was thinking.
Love.
Oh,
exactly.
She's in love.
It's love. Here I am thinking that you're a nice,
how does your
nice,
boyfriend
nice
feel
girl
about you working at Playboy?
Oh, just fine.
Just fine?
Sure.
Does he come by the office very often? Or
No. Actually, I don't think he's ever been to the office.
Really?
Yeah.
Even
in the mansion?
No.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right.
He has
well,
not been to the mansion.
Listen, we'll be glad to.
Is your boyfriend Hugh Hefner?
No comment.
Okay.
It's not.
We'll be glad to promote.
Richard Kind.
This. Hold on. We have.
Richard Kind. Yeah, I agree with Richard Kind. That's one thing about. Why is he in the magazine?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey,
that
Don.
Man should not be in the magazine.
Yeah. Hi there.
Don, you're saying you can put her mouth where the water comes from?
No. Listen. And now,
Frieda can. Yes.
That's
totally
okay. Frieda can put her mouth where the water.
Where the water comes
on
from.
On the part where the baby comes from and the water comes from as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all okay, but the other side's not okay.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
There you go. A lot of people getting angry about this.
Don't get angry. Sure, live your own
I'm
life.
With these people.
Passionate
live,
listeners.
Live,
right,
live,
absolutely.
Live your own bowel-loving lives. Thank you.
Don't
lump me in there, for Christ's sake.
Don't lump me into your private hell.
No, come on. That's the ABCs of me. You've known that from
right.
day one.
Well, you know what I've always wondered? What I've always wondered is it seems to be beyond just something that you... That's important to you. As a matter of fact, the curiosity.
I'm
about
passionate
the,
about it.
Yeah,
right.
And I think you are because you're denying. It's almost like somebody who is severely homophobic. They probably have homosexual tendencies. The fact that you are so obsessed with the buttock area means that you, in fact, probably desperately want that area on you to be touched and caressed during lovemaking.
I am telling you. That area gets plenty of touching during the cleansing, after the eating of the food, and I am telling you, there is no pleasure to be driven from that area.
Oh, okay, don't knock until you've tried it.
There is none. I know, we got a break.
Yeah.
Do I have time to give you the sex quiz? Would you take the sex quiz?
I don't know, I'm afraid.
Sex quiz has been taken on the show by every celebrity. Dennis Franz. We've had a lot of
Richard
Kind. Yeah. Richard Kind took it. Yeah.
These are questions that we ourselves have answered.
Yes, okay. We've all taken the sex quiz on the show. It's a standard celebrity quiz that we're giving you. And although you are not in the magazine, you work for Playboy. You would not be qualified as a celebrity. We would
sometimes
love you to
in
take
my own
the
mind, I am.
In your own mind. Well, you could be in the magazine. You should know
there
that.
You're good enough looking to be in there. Again, here's a plug for you. Next Thursday, 735th Avenue between 9 and 5. All you girls who want to try out for this Playboy Real World show and end up being a playmate.
And
please,
on television. So
yeah,
that's right, on a reality television show.
Please, no pigs. We have 14 questions.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus.
And again, we've answered them.
It's fast.
And celebrities from around the world have answered them. Have you, Laura, ever been in a three-way? Have you ever been in a three-way or enjoyed group sex?
No, I have not.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
No, I have not.
Don't lie.
I am not.
Might want to turn up her microphone a little bit.
Yeah. I got it up like all the way.
Sorry.
Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
No, I have not.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Hot interracial sex?
Hot interracial sex.
Yes, interracial sex.
Well, there's a difference.
Have you ever enjoyed interracial sex?
Yes, I have.
Very good. Another yes.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
No.
Okay. No.
No.
No. Have you ever had sex in a public place?
No.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
Wow.
Have you had sex in the no-no?
No.
Good. Good for you.
Very good.
I know.
He's into that.
Yeah, right.
Well, I have no choice.
Do you swallow?
No.
Oh.
I know. I guess not.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sorry.
It's okay. You're honest.
Have you J-O'd today?
No.
You ever had sex in a car?
No, I have not.
How could you possibly work for Playboy?
I like that. I like it.
Two more questions. Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
No.
Wow.
I know, I'm afraid.
This might be an actual record setter.
And to the nearest 10, 50, or 100, or in some cases 1,000, what do you estimate your total number of sexual partners to
Definitely
be?
Definitely 10.
Ten.
I'm a good kid.
Buzz, we might have a Girl Scout here.
We do, in fact. A new record has been set with only two yes answers from Sister Laura Ingalls from Playboy. Congratulations, Laura.
Wow.
Only two yes answers.
There you are, working over at the old liberal Playboy, and you're just a poly purebred.
I just don't practice what I preach.
That's not. Well, listen, it was very nice meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
Keep us informed about what happens with the
girls. I definitely will. Next time we'll be back with a winner.
That's what we like.
Don't forget, get me and Mike in that mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, come to our Super Bowl party, guys.
And listen, let's review now. In the magazine, I don't need to see the tonsils.
No tonsils.
But I need to see a little more, you know, privacy. And you got to make the forum more reader friendly.
Yeah. Reader friendly forum.
And
no tonsils.
Take out guys like Richard Kind.
Richard Kind, bad.
And give our best to Hef.
I will.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank Laura
much.
From Playboy Magazine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the experience.
They're cute.
I did.
Very nice.
Very cute.
Very cute.
Yes. Very cute.
Absolutely.
Who's the celeb you think she most resembles?
Oh, boy, that's tough.
It is. Kind of like almost a Daisy Fuentes almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice big dimples.
Yeah, we were, you could tell. You could always tell that we were all a little captivated.
Yeah.
Very girl next door.
Nice.
Hey, listen, this is a nice change of pace. I know we have to break, but I just got in the instant feedback from Richie from the Port Authority Police Department.
Yes.
Don, yesterday you misquoted the number of Port Authority cops killed in the WTC attack.
Oh, okay.
You said 13 or 14. Actually, there were 37
wow.
Port Authority police officers and 38 Port Authority civilians killed as a result. Please correct this. I took heat from my captain at work.
Oh, sorry, Richie. Sorry about that.
That's the number you'd given me. My sincere apologies. We have to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sold separately, and you can put them in any crazy pose you want. Kiss, each 12.5-inch figure sold separately by Mego. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
All right, listen, this is your last weekend now to send in your entry for the Las Vegas-style show in your home on Super Bowl Saturday. They bring the whole show to your house, no matter where you live. We're going to read some entries today. Your last weekend to get your entry and fax it to us, because we're going to pick the winner on Monday. Our fax number is 800-636-6410. Let me tell you, coming soon on the show, Monday, our friend Michael Weiss, the skating guy.
My wife has been skating with Michael Weiss when he's been practicing. She's been on the ice. He does singles. They don't do pairs, but she's been out there on the ice with him.
He's going to the Olympics, and he's coming on the show. I think he's coming Monday. Isn't that right? Rumpelstiltskin? Monday for Michael Weiss.
Very cool.
Then the girl who teaches housewives how to dance like strippers. Also coming soon, porno football.
Yeah.
I know you're going to like that. And also, nude password.
Nude password.
password. Wow.
That's another one. That's another one we have coming very soon on the show.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Wow.
So stay tuned. Always trying to come up with new innovations and
make me miss Alan Ludden even more.
Right now we're working on our Valentine's Day show. We always try to do something unique and special on Valentine's Day.
Nudity.
And I think that
nudity.
This year.
Nudity.
This year we're gonna go in a different direction.
Nudity.
No, not tonsils. Oh. Trust me. Have I ever let you down on Valentine's Day?
Nudity.
Have I ever let you down?
Nudity.
Do you remember the time we went to Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and we actually had
couples actually engaging in love?
Couples having intercourse on the radio.
Yes.
The time that we dipped ourselves in chocolate.
Yes.
The time that we had a nude wedding on the show.
Absolutely beautiful.
This year will be...
Nudity.
It will be good.
Nudity.
Just stick with me, okay?
Thank you. I'm just throwing in that...
It involves nudity.
I'm just throwing in that subliminal message.
It involves nudity, but I'll tell you this, it also involves a lack of love.
Oh.
We're going to ask for, I don't want to let everything go right now, but it involves couples who are getting divorced.
Oh, always interesting.
Wow. And nudity.
Ah.
That's part of our Valentine's Day special. So lots of stuff happening on the show. Oh, a Friday favorite right now. Let's get to this.
It's game time now on Day of Day with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play. Let's
go about you.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. And, well, he's got a brand new television show, and we're always glad when the great James Garner joins us.
Potty talk, potty talk, potty talk. That's all you seem to do, son. I don't understand why you have to have all this disgusting potty talk on the radio. And I don't like magazines either.
Oh, you're talking about the last segment with the Playboy
girl? I don't believe in magazines, glossy magazines. You want to read something, read the Reader's Digest. It always worked for me, son. There's nothing wrong with that at all. How are you? Good to see you. It's the old pornographers of the radio. Hello, this is James Garner. I'm here to promote First Monday. I play a Supreme Court Justice who's a little on the conservative side.
Yeah, now, how did you get roped into this? I mean, your career is absolutely down the toilet if you're doing a show for... It's on CBS, right?
I can explain it to you. There's no need for you to get all hot and bothered about my career choices. Why are you doing that to me? Can I ask you a question? I've been at this a long time. I don't need a roadmap for my career from you, son. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
I don't mind working. I still enjoy the work, the process, television, films, or anything like that. I enjoy the process. The job is the thing. It makes me happy to keep working. What makes me unhappy is when I try to make water.
Can I say something to you, sir?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
I'm going to quote a great man, a quote that was actually heard earlier this week.
It's all this talk about profiling, too. If you want to profile them, just go out and take a bullet.
Wow.
All right, shoot people in the back of the head if they look different. That's the way I figure. All this stuff. I believe in America. The United States of America is under attack, son. What we need to do is take people out and shoot them and make it all done.
Right.
All this profiling, schmofiling. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes. Jim?
God, I hate young people.
I will F you until you love me, faggot.
I heard that on the news. You're talking about that boxer fella.
Mike Tyson.
He's a boxer. He's paid to be a tough guy. Why are we picking on that poor guy? Let him in the ring and let him take his hostilities out. That's what I think we should do. Don't give him a press conference. Give him the ring. Have him take his shirt off and start pummeling the other guy. God, I hate young people.
But... You totally ignored the fact that I said to you,
I understand
James
what you're
Garner,
saying. What I made a conscious effort to do, just
until
hold
you love
on
me.
A second there, please.
Faggots.
I've got to tell you something. I made a conscious effort to ignore your smut and potty mouth. What you like to do is make fun of the fact that I'm an old-time conservative fellow that gets offended by your language on the radio. So I've decided today you can talk all the blue that you want. I'm
really?
Just going to shake my head and look at you and
penis.
Say... Now, there you go.
Vagina.
Now you're making me angry.
Testicles.
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to take this jar. Oh, you see this oversized belt buckle that I'm wearing right here with my Wrangler jeans and my button-down shirt? I'm going to take my belt off, I'm going to take my boots off, and I'm going to kick you all the way across the state line. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, son?
Uh-huh.
Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
You're trying to make me angry. I'm not going to let it work this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you get to me the way you always get to me, but you're just like every other young person.
Anal. Oral.
Yeah, he's looking at me with that little twinkle in his eyes. I'll tell you right now, you weren't breastfed, were you?
I don't know if I was.
Starting to really, really bother me. Now, when are we going to finish up here? I've got to eat my dinner. I don't eat any later than 5:30. I got to get my blue plate specials. What, do you want me to eat? Why don't I eat the middle of the night?
12:20. Why don't you have lunch?
I had my lunch at 12 noon, right before I got here.
What did you have?
I had what I always had. I had a steak.
A
nice little steak with a nice piece of Texas toast. It was delicious, and I had it, and I had a little mayonnaise on the side, and just a little extra lard.
Wow.
It clogs my arteries, but it tastes good, and that's the most important thing. And if I eat later than 5:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to start farting.
Hey, have you noticed? Let me ask you something. I know you mentioned you're conservative. Have you noticed that you're
Look at all these cell phones. Who needs those things?
Jesus. You don't have one?
I don't have a cell phone, schmell phone.
Really?
If I want to talk on the telephone, I'll go over to the wall and pull it out just like I always do.
You know, James, have you noticed that you're on the show, and I think this is the first time since we switched times.
Don, before we go any further, can I make a personal request to you?
Sure.
How about we don't talk about rubbers, scrotums, or feminine odor? Do you get that? Can you do that for me this one time? No feminine odor talk. Can we do that? You talked your anal, your oral. I understand that. I used to work in Hollywood. There was deviant sexual activity all over the place, and I was not an unhandsome man, if you know what I mean. Ladies would come up to me all the time and say, can I see your scrote?
Then tell me something. Then, all right, I promise I won't bring it up. If you tell me the celebrity that you had sex with back in the day of the Rockford Files who had the worst feminine odor.
It's a no-brainer.
Who is it?
Shelley Winters.
Wow.
Why would you bang Shelley Winters?
Well, it was fun. It was there and it was available, and I was a young star, and I was going for some of the older starlets, and it worked out for me. She was lovely, but there was a problem.
A big problem with the odor.
I tell you, it was very, very difficult. Mm. Rita Moreno's a close second. Now, there, I've given it to you. Now you know. Now you know your details. Write it down in your little smut book. That'll be fine.
All right, now, let me ask
talk of labia, please.
Have you noticed?
I really appreciate that.
Have you noticed our show is on at a different time now?
I'm not really concerned about that. I've got a very rigorous schedule. I listen to you during the day. If I'm in the taxi cab and it's on, I'll listen to you.
Have you noticed that we're on in a time slot that used to be occupied by G. Gordon Liddy?
Son, can I tell you what I notice? Can I tell you what's important to me?
Because you're a conservative.
Now, I'll tell you right now. What's important and what I notice is my regularity. I don't care about what's on the television or what's in the radio or what's on the theater. It doesn't matter to me right now. I'll tell you what I do. I wake up at 5:15 every single morning, and the only thing that concerns me is whether or not I have a proper BM. That's the most important thing to me, and also how long it's going to take for me to make my water. If it takes me more than 2.5 minutes, I know it's time to go see my urologist. Now, first Monday's going to be a show about the Supreme Court. I urge everybody to see it. It's going to be just like the West Wing.
The show's going to be on for 3 weeks. They're going to cancel.
Well, why don't you turn on your ESPN or your BSPN or whatever you want to watch and watch some more of those girl sports like the LPGA or the WNBA. How about the Kitchen NBA?
Why
don't we go into the Kitchen Girls? I don't like girl sports. Why do they have to play sports and report on sports? That's man's work.
So you don't even like the girls, the women on ESPN?
I like girls to do what girls were put on this earth for. Nurses, stewardesses, that's what they're supposed to do. A couple of actresses, maybe occasionally they can go out and date boys. They can work in dance halls, but by and large, they should wait along dance halls. You heard me, son. That's the way it works. Dance halls are fine with me, but what I'd really like them to do is to stay home, marry a fella, give him a nice baby, and keep the meals hot.
Procreate.
Procreate's important right now. I'll tell you right there.
What would you say to, I don't know if you, when you were walking in the studio door here today, many of the executives at this radio station are women.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, Jim, if you look in the next room.
I'm experiencing a bit of discomfort.
Rummy, would you raise your hand for a second? Now, do you see that attractive woman in the next room?
Oh, there she is wearing pants. Why do women have to wear pants? Now, skirts and dresses are perfectly acceptable. When did those go out of fashion?
Now, isn't she a cute girl?
She's moderately attractive.
She's our producer.
Well, that's good. Tell her to put a skirt on. How about a business suit? Why can't she dress a little more ladylike?
She is our producer.
And what's this fella doing? He's wearing denim.
Yes.
In the office space. Where's his fedora hat?
It's radio.
It frustrates the hell out of me right now. We need less foreigners in America, too. And I do like all the boys with the short hair, though. That's a nice look. I enjoy it. She's no Marianne Hartley, though.
Who's that? You mean Lisa?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I thought you might be offended by the fact that not only a woman...
She's no Doris Day.
Not only a woman, but an attractive woman is in a position of power here.
Well, I tell you...
On a radio show.
That's not it. I don't think that's necessary. necessary. You might say she's in a position of power, but she's really waiting for the right guy to settle down and have a baby with. And she ought to wear a dress.
And she ought to wear a dress.
Every woman here ought to wear a dress, and all I see is pants and jeans and denim and long pants and the shoes and sneakers when they all ought to be wearing high heels and skirts.
Did you see Nadine out at the front desk out there?
I did indeed. Yeah, another girl wearing pants. It's disturbing to
beautiful
me. It really
woman
is. They're all beautiful
woman,
but they're all waiting for the same thing. A trip down the Garner Highway to stay in the kitchen and make a baby. Don't you understand what I'm saying, son? The world has gone backwards. Don't you understand me? The world is really slipping into oblivion, and it's right before your very eyes because you want to talk about anal, oral, and labia.
How come you?
What I'm concerned
used to
about,
be such a cool guy when you were on the Rockford Files.
I am a cool guy, but it's difficult to maintain a level of cool when you have no pressure when you tinkle.
Oh.
That's frustrating for me right now. I've got a prostate that's the size of the Titanic, and it's starting to bother me a little
wow
bit. I'm very concerned about that. Have you ever gone to the bathroom and experienced the agony of waiting 5.5 minutes for any water to come out?
Would you like us to get you
I have
a,
to put my leg in the bowl and let it run down.
Oh,
it's very, very difficult for that. It's true. And then I have to get a hose to wash me down.
Would you like us to get
I usually have to pee in the kitchen sink.
Would you like a
very, very, very tough.
We'll get you one of them Tupperware containers like Liddy used to have to use.
I understand that. I'm not going to do that. I have my dignity. What I do is I wait in the morning. That's why I get up at 5:15. I leave the house by 7, and usually somewhere in the interim, I'll be able to successfully make my water.
You know, when you are on this new whatever this dumb CBS show is, you're going to play a judge. You're wearing a robe, right?
I wear a robe. It's a black robe,
so
like anybody would wear.
In a way, it's almost like you're wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Now, that's not appropriate, son. We're talking about the American judicial system, and you're going to make it into some sort of homosexual activity.
So you're wearing a dress.
You're
on,
just
on
disgusting.
TV.
Why do you get so obsessed with sexual habits of people? Why are you talking about that?
Why are you wearing a robe on
I'm
TV?
Wearing a robe because I play a Supreme Court justice.
Nancy
you're going to make
boy
me angry. I'm going to kick your ass across the state line.
Nah,
now you've gotten my blood pressure all going, and that means I won't have any pressure when I take off. Man, this is really starting to get my goat. I don't mind talking to you, but I'll tell you right now, you're really annoying me, and I'm getting very angry. I was angry when I walked through your studio with all the piercings and tattoos.
Oh. What, you mean the people out there?
The only tattoo I want to see, son, is on a sailor's arm. There's no need for all these girls to have everything tattooed from up and down and down there. Down there where they tinkle. That's the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen in my life. Why do you put your jewelry down there?
Yeah.
I like clip-on earrings on the earlobes. That's the only jewelry these girls need nowadays.
Seems to me that CBS is constantly striving to get a younger audience.
I like CBS. I'm a big fan of CBS.
Yeah, no
I think
surprise.
Walter Cronkite does a fine job with the news.
No surprise you're a fan of CBS. You're right.
I do. I used to party with those guys. Walter Cronkite, Roger Mudd, used to have a very good time. And now you'll make some joke about Roger Mudd, won't you? You're going to talk about some fecal matter, and that's the way you work. I know. See, I'm one step ahead of you, son.
You said it. I didn't say it.
And I like that young boy, David Letterman. He's got his act together. He's from the Midwest, and he deserves an awful lot of credit. He's a good young man. A good boy.
Now, wait, you like
Baby boy.
You like Letterman.
I do like David Letterman.
What do you like about Letterman that you don't like about us, for instance?
I like the fact that he comes out wearing a sensible double-breasted suit every single night. He keeps his hair short, and he talks about his mother in a nice way. He's a good boy. I wish you'd be more of a good boy, all your people. And I also like his hatred. He shares hatred like I do. You know, a few machine guns on the Mexican border would take care of that immigration problem, if you know what I mean.
I am with you there.
There you go.
Okay.
Build a big wall around the United States, and then we don't have to play ball with anybody.
How long have I said that? And you know what else I bet we agree on? When we had our last segment with the girl from Playboy.
Yeah?
I'm going to bring it up again.
Playboy, Schmeyboy, there you go.
I'm going to bring up anal, and I'm going to ask you.
Of course you are.
That,
here you
no,
go.
No, Jim, listen, I bet you and I line up together on this.
The only magazine I read is Field & Stream.
Is that part of the body, the butt, is that an entrance or an exit?
Well, I know what that is. I tell you right now, I hope mine works every day when I wake up, but that's what you'd make poo-poo with.
Right. So is it an entrance or
an exit?
Okay, so you see?
For the love of God, now, occasionally I don't mind, though, if I'm with my special someone.
Oh.
If she wants to, have fun, I always tell her very specifically, you might want to make sure you go up to the third knuckle. Otherwise, I'm not getting any sensation whatsoever.
You enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Angel was wonderful.
Oh, no!
She'd always go up to the third knuckle.
No, Angel was a man.
Oh, that's right.
On the Rockford Finals.
I'm sorry, I slipped again. I called him her.
That's what he liked.
That's right, Angel. Yeah, I didn't like it when he'd be working on the car before he'd come into the trailer. That'd be a little difficult, especially if he had a few of those little grease spots under his fingernails.
You know, the thing is, like I was saying,
I got a horrible infection one time. I had to go to the Malibu Emergency Clinic.
When the Rockford Files was on, man, it was the coolest show in the world.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for appreciating my work. Did you like Maverick?
What, the movie with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, did you like that? I was Mel Gibson's father. I thought I did a fine job in that, too.
Yeah, in a small role.
Did you like Space Cowboys? I was pretty good in that, too.
Sure.
You like the fourth banana in that? You are right in that.
Did you like Murphy's Romance?
Oh, listen to this.
Sally Field's got a great set of cans.
You know that we made... Oh.
Did you like Tank?
Do you know that we made...
I was good in Tank, wasn't I?
Listen to this. We made a homemade porno with a guy we know named Dennis Murphy.
Can I say goodbye to my friend Jack Lemmon? Can I take that opportunity?
He
played the president with me. We were dueling presidents.
That's right.
Goodbye, Jackson. You'll be missed, my friend.
Let me just tell you that we made a porno. We made a homemade porno.
Of course you made a porno. That's how you live your life. You live your life in the smut industry.
You know what we named the porno?
What did you name it?
Murphy's Romance.
Murphy's Romance. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you could take my body of work and turn it into something sordid.
Dennis Murphy.
Have you thought about going to your local Protestant church, son? Have you thought about throwing yourself down on your knees and going to a nice Episcopalian service? Have you thought about that?
I go to church every week.
Oh, well, now that's the most abysmal thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean you go to church every week and then you're talking about anal and oral?
I don't like anal. I like oral.
I'll tell you, take a nice stroll. Slow your life down and take a stroll in the park. Why don't you come out with me? We'll buy some fedora hats. We'll walk around and feed the pigeons together.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, James Gardner, wearing a robe.
Thank you very much. I'd like everybody to go see First Monday.
Some might refer to it as a dress.
Joe Montana's in that also. I never worked with an ethnic before.
On his new show, which I'm sure will be canceled days after its first airing on CBS.
I'd like all your girls to put on dresses while I'm here. Is that possible, please?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Well, I didn't think so. Thank
you. Not a chance. Listen, if you want to play Low Budget Jeopardy, I see we have a champion.
I brought a copy of Support Your Local Sheriff. It's just for you.
We have a champion. We need a challenger at 877-365-3636 or from D.C. 202-432-1067 and New York 877-692-1027.
I brought you some barbarians at the gate cufflinks.
Now I loved you in that.
Thank you very much.
I loved you in that.
I was F. Ross Johnson.
And now I know what the F in F. Ross Johnson stands for.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Love that. And that's a hot piece of ass you were married to in that movie.
You think somebody could get me some beef tips on a stick?
Sure.
Little teriyaki?
Sure.
I like that Japanese stuff.
Okay, we'll be back.
We beat them in the war, you know.
I know we did.
Good job. Beat them good.
I know we did.
They'll never forget.
Yeah.
It's the way we ought to handle all those people.
Have you seen Mike's pictures?
Yeah, I saw Mike's pictures.
Of Japanese people?
Yeah, I did. I thought that was pretty good. I like those. I doodle like that also. Ever since the 40s. If you know what I mean.
We will, never forget.
Remember the Arizona.
Be right back. Need a caller. Coming right back.
Don and Mike Show.
The greatest man in show business.
On timeout. I gotta take
this is my kind of music.
The whole break over.
Why'd you do that? Why did you take that music off, son?
That's the wrong music.
What are you doing?
Let me reset the whole break.
Please play something pretty. Not your rock and roll.
Wait, hold on. Here we go. It was supposed to be like this.
That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
Thank you. Here we go. Of course, you're playing your newfound rock and roll.
They broadcast the wrong time, dear. Don, dear, and Mike, dear.
Now, what's funny about that?
I don't know, dear. That's a, that's a joke you'll get. That's about a CM.
Well, I'll tell you, that's, now, I like, now you're talking. Like back in 1958 when I did Sayonara.
Oh, did someone go to the web and get your filmography?
Absolutely.
We got to play, Low budget Jeopardy now. James Garner, tell us who's playing the game with us.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is one of your listeners, the guy that likes porn and smut. He's a mortgage banker from Herndon. Let's say hi to a good Irishman, Pat O'Brien.
Hello, Pat.
How you doing?
Hey, Pat. Thanks for listening. Hey, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Get your mind right. You understand me?
Got it.
All righty. Can you pick it up a little bit, son? You're on the radio.
I'll do what I can.
Well, that's just not good enough. You're going to have to pick up your enthusiasm level. Say hi, Mr. Geronimo.
Hi, Mr. Geronimo.
Hi, Mr. Garner.
Hi, Mr. Garner.
And I love America.
I love America.
Attaboy. Now entering the studio is our challenger. No, he's not. He's a champion. He's got
champion.
$41 to match him being 48 years old. He's an unemployed waiter from the Bronx. Let's say hi to Bill Robertson.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, LQ. Good day, Mr. Garner.
Hello there. Now, this is the kind of guy that's got his mind right.
Guys, listen, don't forget, answer the form of question. Live with my mom, wearing a clip-on tie, super Mr. Guy. Call me Alex, unless we're playing the game. And then, of course, it's LQ, the Quizmaster. And always call him, James Garner, wearing a dress, wearing a robe on his new show.
I'm wearing a robe because I play a Supreme Court justice. Come on now. What's wrong with you?
Here are your categories. I am Sam.
I wish it was 1959 and I was doing Up Periscope again.
I am Sam.
I am Sam. Very good. I like that. Thank you for that credit.
And God, that movie. It's too bad Charlie Stossel's not on today, that we're in New York and he's back in D.C. Because I am ready. I mean, I've seen all the ads.
Right.
This is a movie that will touch you. This is a movie. Come on.
Well, I suppose you're going to make fun of the less fortunate.
It's Sean Penn playing a retard.
Very good. Isn't that lovely?
How tough is that?
Well, aren't you a brave soul?
Don't take my daughter away from me.
I've had just about enough that I can stand. I'll tell you that right now. Where is that Nancy Boy Stossel today?
He's back in D.C. So you got, here's your categories. I'm sorry, I was going off on a tangent. I am Sam.
Yeah.
Name that NFL playoff starting quarterback.
Very good.
Golden Globe winners.
Oh, that'll be fun. Almost as much fun as when I had my knees replaced.
Name the celebrity bra size.
Now, there you had to work your sex into it, didn't you? You're a sex maniac.
And states and capitals.
Now, there's something educational and beneficial for all of your listeners.
Let's see, Pat, you are the challenger. We'll start with you, my friend.
We'll go with I am Sam. For one.
I am Sam.
Oh, dear. There you go. Pick on the less fortunate, son. It's always an easy mark.
It has nothing to do with this. Category has nothing to do with retards.
Well, very good. I don't like that word.
I am Sam.
Use the word challenge, or I'll slap you upside of your head.
The freaking tards. Hollywood star. He starred in Pulp Fiction and the remake of Shaft.
No problem.
Very nice, Pat. Bill, your chance to steal.
Who is Richard Roundtree?
No. Again, remember the category, boys. I am Sam. That would be Sam Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Fine actor, good man. Pat, you're in control.
Wolf, I am Sam for two.
The greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
Who is Sam Huff?
$2. Right. Now, there's the kind of American you ought to have on your show more often.
Sam Huff?
I like Sam Huff. I like the way he sings. I like the way he thinks.
This is Sam Huff.
And I voted for him for Congress.
He'll make a good Congress.
All right, Pat, you're in control.
We'll go with I am Sam for three.
What was that, Pat?
I am Sam for three.
Thank you very much.
I was running out of Sams here. Famous old golfer.
Who is Sam Snead?
$3. Another good American. Thank you for this category. I salute you. Sam Snead. I love his hats.
I am Sam.
Ah, there you
go. Wearing my daughter.
Why don't you behave yourself?
Don't take her away from me.
I'm about to kick your ass across the state line.
D.J. Sean Payne, give me an Oscar because I'm pretending you be retarded.
You got a lot of issues, son. You ought to pencil that up and put it in a bottle. Pencil.
Pencil?
Pencil.
Anal. Anal. Me like anal.
Yeah, it's always anal with you.
Yeah.
I tell you something. I bet your fingers do the walking when you're down there cleaning yourself.
Oh, they do not.
Yes, they do.
They do not.
Beware.
Who's in charge here?
Pat O'Brien, the talkative one.
We'll go with NFL quarterbacks for one.
Let me just say that this Pat O'Brien, he certainly is much better when he's on Access Hollywood.
Yeah, I like him. I tell you, he doesn't sound the same, does he?
All right, NFL quarterbacks for one. He will start this weekend for the St. Louis Rams.
Who is Kurt Warner?
$1 for you, Pat. You're blazing a trail right now. Keep going, son.
We'll go with NFL quarterbacks for two.
Start for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
who is Cordell Stewart.
$2 for Patty's really kicking a little boot.
And we'll go with NFL quarterbacks for three.
Well, come on, Sam, the retard could get these.
All right, there you go.
He will start for the New England Patriots.
Who is Tom Brady?
There you go. He ran a category. $3, you ran the category, Pat. You're still blazing a trail. Select again.
Go ahead. States and Capitals for one.
States and Capitals. It is the capital of the great state of Maryland.
What is Baltimore?
No, no, no. For God's sakes, you live in the region. Bill, your chance to steal.
What is Annapolis?
Annapolis.
Right.
$1 for you, Bill. You're in control.
States and Capitals for two, please.
Capital of the great state of New Jersey.
What is Trenton?
$2 for Bill. He's coming back strong. Select again, Billy boy.
States capitals for three, please.
It is the capital of the great state of Montana.
What is...
Pat, your chance to steal.
What is Helena?
Helena, yeah, we'll give it to you. Yeah, correct, right.
I didn't know that was no longer a territory.
What do you mean?
Montana.
Yeah, it's one of the...
Did we get that from the engines?
It's one of the 48 contiguous United States.
Well, hats off to the U.S. of A. That's fantastic. I'll have to congratulate Mr. Grant. All right, Pat. You're in control.
We'll go with celeb bra size for one.
All right, here we go. Bra size is schmaw size.
Tell you the name of a celebrity, you tell me her bra size, okay? For one, Halle Berry.
Say 34B.
That was not in the form of a question.
Make Bill your chance to steal.
Halle Berry, what is 34C?
No, he had it right. It's a 34B.
Same size as Joe Montaigne. All right, Pat, you're in control.
I'm going with bra size for two.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What is 34C?
No.
Bill, your chance to steal again.
What is 36C?
36C. No. Have you ever seen Seinfeld, son?
She is also a 34B.
I thought those were mosquito bites. Thought that was training bra territory. Pat, you're in control.
We'll try the last one for three.
Nicole Kidman.
This is 34C.
Bill, your chance to steal.
All right, what is 34B?
See, all three of them, they all got the same.
They're 34B.
All three answers were 34B.
B for bodacious tatas.
Now, who's the potty mouth now?
I'm sorry, I was having a flashback. You know, we used to get a little ribald on the old set of Rockford. You understand that, don't you?
Sure, I do.
I was a popular guy. Good heterosexual. Now things don't work down there.
Sorry about that.
I'm getting an implant, though.
Are you getting the pump?
Yeah, damn, yeah. I got it right down there. I'm going to keep it right under my epidermis right here. Just a little push thing like those Reebok sneakers.
Okay, let's go with all we got left is Golden Globe winners, right?
No more states and capitals?
No.
How about another category with presidents?
No.
How about Millard Fillmore?
We have Golden Globe winners. Who's in control here, Jimbo?
Big Bill. Big Bill's trying to mount a comeback at the last tier. Here we go, Bill. Try to come on strong.
All right, Bill,
yep.
This won the Golden Globe for Best TV Comedy Series.
Youngster.
What is Sex in the City?
Sex in the City. That is correct.
$1 for you. There you go, Bill. Way to go.
Two, please.
Two, please. He won Best Actor in a Movie Drama.
Who is Russell Crowe?
Right, Russell Crowe.
$2. He's mounting a heck of a comeback. Bill, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Mr. Garner.
And, you're welcome. Here you go. Final question on the big board. She won for Best Actress in a Movie Drama.
Who is Sissy Spacek for in the bedroom?
Yeah, there you
go. $3, wow. What a brainiac. He almost made it a horse race there. Way to go, Bill.
There you go. Okay, so now we're ready for final low-budget Jeopardy.
Boy, I tell you, it's a fine game. I love it when this spirit of American competition gets my blood going.
Jimbo, with your penile implant, what is the score?
Well, Pat O'Brien finishes with $14, and we got old Bill over here. Bill finishes with $12.
All right, guys, anything can happen. We physically force you both to
Tippy Canoe
all.
And Tyler, too.
Good luck, and here is your category. How old is that nutcase? That is the category.
Thank you very much.
How old is that nutcase? And here's the answer. Don't forget, we need it in the form of a question. The current age of pop superstar / Looney Tune Mariah Carey. That one faced bitch. The current age of pop superstar slash Looney Tune Mariah Carey. Don't forget, we need it in the form of a question, guys, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive My America by James Garner. It's a book about patriotism, capitalism, and anti-communism. And it'll show you how to root out undesirables in your neighborhood. My America shows you how to clean up your block from immigrant hunts to record burns to making the unwanted uncomfortable on your street. My America will make your street as clean as a freshly polished pocket watch. That's right, My America, it's James Garner's America. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex.
Thank you, Jimbo.
You're welcome.
It's time
now on JFK with cash for you and me.
I don't know wherever gets the time thing, but what do you think about James Walker?
James Walker, I'll tell you right now, I'd like to take him out and scalp him like an Indian.
I think they did. Didn't they cut off all of his hair?
Not enough for me, as far as I'm concerned. What you want to do with John Walker is you want to cut all the hair off. I'm talking about going down beneath the scalp line. A little souvenir. I'll put it on my rearview mirror.
Like what they did to Ray Liotta in the Hannibal movie.
That'd be fine with me, son. I tell you, like, I get it. I get my pocket watch, my Swiss Army, and I peel back his scalp.
Okay, who do I want to go to first here?
You want to go to Bill, our returning champion, low man on the totem pole.
All right, Bill, the current age of pop superstar and nutcase Moran. Carry.
What is 26?
Negative.
I'm sorry, Bill, that knocks you down to zero.
Pat, you're the winner if you have the right answer.
What is 31?
That is correct.
And that means that Pat O'Brien, the soft-spoken boy from Herndon, Virginia, you're our low-budget champion, and what do you have to say about that?
I'm ecstatic.
Ecstatic, that's a good word. Some way to pull out the big nickel words.
There you go. Mariah Carey, 31. That's her age. Oh, Bill, you were a good champ.
Who the hell is she?
She's the singer who went to the loony bin. Nice, big jugs.
Is that like the late Rosemary Clooney?
Rosemary Clooney's not dead yet.
Oh, she's not. Is she still making records?
No, but she's not dead yet.
How about
yet?
Sarah Vaughan?
I've never heard of George Clooney.
George Clooney, he's an actor. Yeah, he's a young man. Yeah, right, I've heard of him. He's done the work on ER, that television show.
He somehow is related to Rosemary Clooney.
I watched that one about him in the boat.
Oh, The Perfect Storm.
Absolutely, Clooney. But I don't know this singer you're talking about.
Mariah Carey.
Carey?
Mariah Carey.
Carey.
Yeah.
Grant?
No. Listen, Bill, parting is such sweet sorrow. Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. You get to keep your money and the gifts that James Garner has for you. And, Pat, you get money. Here now is James Garner, American.
Well, Bill, you can keep your $48 and listen to these fantastic prizes we've assembled for you. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You have won a Jackson Hewitt tax gift. Jackson Hewitt will work hard to get you exactly what you want, every dollar you deserve. Call 800-234-1040 today for the Jackson Hewitt in your neighborhood. But wait,
there's more.
You've won a contact prize pact. Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared by contact. Use as directed. But wait,
there's more.
You've won a DVD copy of Do You Believe in Miracles? Now on DVD and VHS from the award-winning team at HBO Sports comes Do You Believe in Miracles? The story of last year's 1980 U.S. hockey team, now available at your local video retailer. They did a great job last year.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, boys, and thanks for playing the game.
Thanks, LQ. Thank you, Mr. Garner.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
I loved the Winter Olympics last year.
1980 was 21 years ago.
Oh, that's right, and I'm not a Supreme Court justice either.
Well, what can I say, James? It's
thank you. Always, time to make water.
Always great to have you on the show.
Stick my leg in the bowl again.
And always remember and never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Boron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate you having me by.
Thank you. Jim, listen to that guitar solo.
Thank you. I did that myself. I'm sending you an oversized belt buckle.
Okay, thank you, James.
Attaboy. Where are my leopard skin boots?
Hold on a second. Where's the door? There it is. Goodbye. Goodbye. I couldn't find the door.
So he was very confused there for a moment.
The music ran
he didn't
out.
Quite know what to do.
Couldn't find the door. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. I'm messing with my knee.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale. You gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Yeah, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
If you last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
Stay tuned for more love. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Joining us now is, we're going to pick the pros until they scab and bleed. And here he is, as we've said for years on the show, not an albino.
No!
Boomer Esiason. Hi, Boomer.
Oh, boy. Nice introduction, guys. Appreciate it. Should I hang up now or what? Hold on.
Right. Yeah, you remember years and years ago, we used to goof on you. Back you see, Boomer... And Boomer has a history with us back when he played for the University of Maryland.
Yes, way back when he was rooming with, now noted local TV sports dude, Jess Atkinson.
That was one of my roommates,
Jess is hanging by a threaded channel.
Sounds like you're really enthusiastic about that time.
No, I actually love Jess. I roomed with not only Jess, but Alan Sadler from Camp Springs.
Right.
And Frank Reich.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Frank Reich and you were
The four of us were in Harford Hall over there at the University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, Rob Spiewak doesn't know a lot about football. It's not that he doesn't like it, but I know that when Frank Reich played for the Bills, you loved it when he was a third-string quarterback because you could always say he was the third right.
Unbelievable. Amazing the things that get him excited.
That is Rob.
Are we actually on the air now, guys?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are good.
I guess Boomer, the last time I saw you was when you came up for the Redskins pregame show.
Yes.
When you were doing the radio, and you still are doing the... you do so much stuff now. Are you doing the radio now, or are you doing that Fox show on Sunday morning?
I call the games on radio for CBS Westwood One. So I'll be in St. Louis this week for the Rams and Eagles, but I also do the Monday night radio game. So that's where you saw me. I think you saw me either in Dallas or in Green Bay. I don't know which one of those great games that the Redskins played that we tried to analyze.
Yeah, anyway, Boomer has always been a good friend of the show and a good guy. And everybody knows about all the stuff that Boomer's gone through in his personal life with his mm-hmm. with his son. And
that's right.
You really, you were good right after 9/11 when you were on the Fox show right after that. I want to make sure I gave you some love there for that.
Well, thanks.
Okay, so let's get to the games this weekend.
Boy, big game. Probably the biggest game this weekend is the St. Louis-Philly game, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's... they're both huge. There's no question about that. But I think that, with the way that Donovan McNabb has been playing the last 2.5 weeks, since the fourth quarter of the last game of the season against the Giants, he has just been absolutely magnificent. And, he'll be a more formidable opponent than Brett Favre was last week, just simply because of his ability to move around and to make plays. And it seems like he's playing the game, and I always equate this to the way you think about a game when you get to it. He's playing the game much slower than everybody else, meaning that he's seeing things, he's operating in such a confidence level right now that he becomes the most dynamic player in football and the most difficult to defend against.
They used to talk about that in hockey with Wayne Gretzky, that he was able to, what made him great was his ability to slow the game down around him, where he would actually see things before anybody else would see. Is it the same kind of thing with Donovan McNabb?
Yeah, it is. And the thing about him is that he is actually was very inconsistent through the middle of the season, and Philadelphia fans were wondering, where's this great player that we're supposed to have? And something happened in the fourth quarter against the Giants, their last game, and he rallied him back, brought him back to a win. He hit Chad Lewis for a touchdown pass to win the game, and this was the Donovan McNabb that everybody was hoping for in Philadelphia. Now, against Tampa, certainly their defense had a lot to do with it, but last week against the Chicago Bears, he was just absolutely magnificent, and it was very difficult, even for players like the Bears have on defense, to stay with him.
Are you superstitious?
A little bit. When I played, I was. I mean, I had to always make sure that I had the same routine every game day, whether it be what I ate in the morning and the way I would put my uniform on, the things that I would wear on my, underneath the uniform, the type of you know, cold weather clothing or something like that. Yeah, I was pretty
I ain't so nuts. Because I'm positive I'm a Packers fan. The reason that they lost was that I had on the wrong outfit on Sunday. I mean, really, I wore a jersey that I've never worn for a game before, and they got crushed.
Well, they got crushed because Brett Favre played awful.
Yeah, no.
Their defense actually played pretty good, didn't you think?
Yes, and, you know, the Packers, I believe, had more total yards on offense than the Rams did.
Well, the Rams never had the ball because the defense for the Rams was scoring touchdowns.
Now, what's the last time that you played a game that you can think you played as tard-like as Brett Favre did, where he would go back and he'd feel the pressure and he would just throw that baby up for grabs?
I just felt like Brett was, you know, throwing caution to the wind in this game, and he probably went in the mindset saying, you know what, I got to score 40 points to win this game. There's no way that we're going to be able to stay with him. And really, it came back to bite him in the butt because he threw too many interceptions. The last game that I played like that, I threw 5 interceptions against New England back in 1988. Actually, oddly enough, it was our Super Bowl year, and we were 7-0 at the time, and I threw 5 interceptions in a game. So I know what it's like. I mean, it's just absolutely awful. And you know, he's meant so much to that franchise, and I think he put way too much pressure on himself to try to have the best game of his career. And when you do that, usually what happens is the opposite.
And the New England thing, I mean, it's been talked to death, and we've argued about it. I know people are sick of hearing about it, and I know that they called it as the rule should be called.
They called it properly, though.
But no, listen, Mike, it was a freaking fumble. Boomer, when you get past all the stuff about how the rule is written and how they called it.
Well, that's what the whole thing is. How can you ask the question like that when you get by what the rule is?
How do you define tucking the ball? I think as soon as he pats the ball with his left hand, he's no longer passing.
Are you talking to me or guests, or are you talking to each other?
I mean, we're talking to each other, but I guess we're asking you.
I think you know where we line up on
I know. A couple things here that I would say about it. Number one, first of all, the reason that you have instant replay is so things like this don't happen. And it was because of instant replay that the wrong team won the game. The other fact if it were outside of 2 minutes, you know, would there be a coach in the league that would have called for a replay?
Yes.
The only reason that thing was, I believe, the only reason that was called for a replay is because it was under 2 minutes and somebody in the booth.
Thank you.
And the other fact is that, you know, as Mike Priera said, who is the director of officiating for the NFL, you know, the rule is there. The rule is clear in what it states. The interpretation of the rule was correct, but I think replay is what, you know, it kind of backfired on everybody because replay is there to make sure the right team wins when, in fact, replay here in this instance made sure the wrong team won.
Thank you.
Even though the rule is clear and the rule is right and interpreted right, I think the rule stinks.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's I'll buy that. That the rule, but
that
I mean,
is the queer duality, Mike.
Yes, I know.
The NFL.
You know, the thing is, though, I think you're right about the rule, perhaps, but you agree that the rule was interpreted correctly.
Yes, I do. I do. But I say this that. I equate it to the fact that replay screwed this thing up. Supposedly, replay is in the game, so things like this don't happen and the wrong team wins the game.
You know, let me ask you about this.
And thank
I really
you, Boomer,
watching.
Hold on, Michael. Let me just thank Boomer again as many times as you can possibly say.
All right.
The wrong team won the
game. Thank you. Fine. All right.
Thank you.
But don't you think, in general? I mean, it seems more so every year. We are dealing with a game that is over officiated.
It's
crazy, Boomer.
It is crazy, but I have to tell you, it's the most difficult game to officiate. Clearly, the game with the most rules, the most, you know, the one thing that rule did do, it basically took, you know, the referee out of the mix. The referee doesn't interpret whether or not Tom Brady is trying to throw the ball. It's almost, I equate it to like a federally mandated law. When you're sitting before a judge, or one of these people are sitting before a judge, and the judge says, you know, the only thing that I can do here is give you the maximum penalty because I'm not allowed any leeway. And I would equate that type of situation with what the situation was facing Walt Coleman, who was the official of that game, meaning that, you know, there is no gray area, there's no room for interpretation as to what the intent of the player on the field is trying to get done. So there are a lot of different situations here that arise in NFL games on a weekly basis And I think that's what makes the game so great, is that each and every week there's a new set of situations to deal with.
And as you said, the wrong team won.
God.
Here's something before we actually talk about the games we make our picks. I don't know when Chris Berman started calling himself Boomer.
I have no idea.
Okay. And I've always wanted to ask you,
I think it's
this.
Cheating by him calling him himself Boomer.
Because Boomer Esiason, I didn't know you before you went to the University of Maryland.
Who did Chris Berman play for?
When Mike and I did our morning show. But I know that even back then, when you played for the Terps, you were always Boomer Esiason.
Well, I was Boomer before I was born. Wow. I used to kick a lot in my mother's tummy, and when my father played at Columbia, the punter there, his nickname was Boomer.
There you go. All right, well, then, are you pissed when you see, in any way are you pissed when you see them on that ESPN show and they go, what do you think, Boomer?
I don't, not at all.
I would be pissed.
No, I'm not worried about it. Chris is a good friend of mine. I don't know why, I still to this day don't know why they call him that.
Well, I think what we ought to do is, we've had Chris Berman on this show many times, and he's a very nice guy. We love having him on the show. But I would think of a name like Lumpy might be more appropriate.
Party.
Well, that's between you and him. I have nothing to do with that.
All right, well, you're always the number one Boomer. You know,
okay, I appreciate that.
And he's the wannabe Boomer. Okay, let's pick the two games this weekend. I don't even think you have to really pick, do you?
Well, I like I like both home teams, but if I were a betting man and I had the spread, I think I'd take the Patriots.
But who's going to win outright?
The both home teams, I think.
Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
Right, that's what I think. But
Well, what is the spread? How many points are the?
I just got done taping something here in New York, so I know it's. I think it's 9.5 for the Patriots.
9.5. I might have to take the Steelers in 9.5.
No,
we're picking games here. We're not in a betting parlor.
I'm saying if I was betting, I would take the Steelers in 9.5.
You would take it and 9.5.
Yeah, I think so.
The thing. I don't know. The situation in Pittsburgh is a little bit different, because even though Bill Belichick has never won in Pittsburgh, I think he's 0-7 in Pittsburgh as a head coach.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's incredible.
The fact is, though, if there's a guy in football that can devise a defense, at least to kind of confuse a quarterback, it would be Bill Belichick against Cordell Stewart. And I don't think Cordell has – I think he's gotten worse as where Donovan McNabb has gotten better. Cordell, the last few weeks, and I go back into the season where he threw 4 interceptions, I believe, against Cincinnati, 2 against Cleveland, and then threw a real horrible one last week against Baltimore, and then his defense saved him. I don't know necessarily that they're going to put up a lot of points.
But conversely, he did have the great game against the Ravens.
He did.
The game of his life.
I still say that he played his best season ever. Don't get me wrong. I think that was the pinnacle of the season for him.
It's going to be tough to overcome the team of destiny, the New England Patriots.
Oh, will you shut up with that? I'll take listen, here are your guaranteed picks. It's the Rams and it's the Steelers.
It's the Rams and it's the Patriots.
Well, that's why we do what we do, because there's differences of opinions everywhere.
I hope it snows again.
Mike, the game's not even in Boston. It's in Pittsburgh.
I know. Well, yeah, they don't get snow in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's not going to snow this week. It's going to be like 50 this week.
All right. Okay, so all you
right.
say.
All right. Hold on. Hey, Boomer, hold on. Someone says he knows when Chris Berman first started using Boomer. Hold on, let's see here. David, hey, Dave.
How you doing?
I listened to Boomer Esiason's on the phone.
I've been listening to you.
When did Chris Berman first start that?
Well, on September 7th, 1979, ESPN went on the air. I was working there that day. Chris was there either that day or within a week after that, as I recall. And he was known as Boomer then. And when he was making his NFL picks, he would go by Swami. So nickname goes back a while.
But you offer
no. Dave, just so you know, I don't have a problem with the nickname. It's Don and Mike that have the problem.
No.
We have a huge problem with it.
Defending him. I'm just calling in for clarification and information. It was a long time ago, and Chris was a lot thinner then.
But we have a giant problem with it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, but let's make it clear. Boomer Esiason has no problem with Chris Berman.
We have the problem.
No, I know.
It's Al Michaels that he's got the problem.
All right, well, if you want to talk about that, we can discuss that, but definitely you don't have enough time in one day.
Not enough time. All right, hey.
All right, guys, take care.
See you later, Dave. And Boomer, always great talking to you.
Oh, thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the picks, and always a good friend over the years. Number 7 in your program and number 1 in your heart.
Call us anytime, Boomer.
Okay, boys. Have a great weekend.
All right, we will. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he is.
I always love talking to him. He's funny. He's a guy that...
Norman Esiason.
He is a great analyst. He really does. Got a lot of insights on the game. But he every now and then, you get him on the right subject, he'll get going.
He used to be good again. You know, today, I hate to keep going down memory road back when we did the morning show.
Right.
But when we did the morning show, that's when, when Boomer was playing in the college area.
He used to listen to us.
Yeah, he used to listen to us. And it was funny. The first time we met Boomer, we were ecstatic to meet him. Like, well, you're Boomer Esiason.
And he told us he'd listened to us many, many times.
And he said, well, you're Don and Mike.
Very, very cool.
And I was like, and then we pulled down our pants. And
then he looked at us and he said, toodaloo, ass.
Yeah. And hold on. You know what? We got another. I think we got a guy here who's got a third Boomer. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? Hey, I'm the guy who made the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest reference.
That was a great one.
I'm sorry I was slow on the trigger on that one yesterday, and it was at my expense. Thank you,
listen,
sir.
Listen, hold on. This guy, he's got another Boomer. Give it to us.
Okay, what about Big Chubsy Wubsy, David Wells?
David Wells is Boomer.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's relatively new, too.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, good call, Mike. Thank you.
All right, Mike.
And don't forget the Benji ripoff, Here's Boomer, that was a show about a dog named Boomer. So there's a show in the 1970s called Here's Boomer.
Just stay out of sports, Rob.
I wasn't in sports. I was on NBC.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Jesus. You know, we get on a really good roll. Every once in a while, that giant brain of his just...
I can't help it. I don't control it.
He cannot turn it off. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. I got a quiz that I thought you might enjoy called Porn Star or My Little Pony.
Oh, wow. All right, what are these names of porn stars?
These are 10 names, and you just have to tell me whether or not you think they're a porn star or a My Little Pony.
Beautiful. Let's play.
If I can stump you, can I win a prize or something?
Well, keep in mind, our prizes suck.
Now, are these characters in My Little Pony or porn stars?
One or the other.
Okay.
All right, yeah, sure, go.
Okay. Cherry Treats.
How about we go back and forth, Mike?
Okay, I'm going to say, My Little Pony.
Okay, Don?
No, Mike makes the pick.
Don, we're going to rotate. We're going to go back and forth.
I got you. It is a white and red strawberry pony from My Little Pony. Mike is correct.
Excellent. All right, very good. I'm glad.
Give me the next one.
Well done. Okay, Lucky Star.
My Little Pony.
He appeared in Pure Milk Number 2.
Oh, dear.
Porn Star.
Oh! Okay, all right. Sorry, I screwed the pooch there. Mike's turn.
Love Melody.
Porn Star.
Pony.
Oh, man. All right, now we're down one. Okay, my turn.
Daisy Sweet.
It's got to be a porn star.
A Little Pony That Smells Like Perfume.
Oh, my God. Now we're down 3-1.
Wow.
Mike.
Sunshine Blue.
Porn star has to be.
Started with about a half a dozen women in fresh flesh.
All right, good. Good. 3 for you and 2 for us. Here we go. Give me the next one.
Honey Rose.
That's got to be a porn star.
She was in Lethal Squirt.
Hey! Are we tied now?
3-3. Mike.
Ruby Lips.
Pony.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Well, I would have never guessed that they'd give up My Little Pony a name Ruby Lips.
Thought it was a trick question.
So we are up 4-3.
You are. And I actually lied. There's 12. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Misty Rain.
Pony.
Starred in Strap-On Sally, Foot Fetish Fantasies 2, and Tracy at the Sex Derby.
I have heard of Misty Rain, the porn star, before.
All right. 4-4.
Green Eyes.
Pony.
He was in Hispanic Heat Wave. Porn star.
Wow.
All right, 5 for you, 4 for us. Give it to me.
Heartthrob.
Pony.
A So Soft Pegasus Pony, you are correct.
Yeah, wow. I thought so.
5 up.
Pegasus.
All right, Mike, good luck.
This could win it for us, Mike.
Chocolate Delight.
Come on. Pony.
A Soda Sippin' Pony.
There you go.
Oh. 6-5, so now I got to win this one to win.
Right, or we tie.
Or we tie. Okay.
Last one. Sweetie Pie.
That's the toughest of all.
Sweetie Pie.
Throw the coin in the air.
Porno.
Breast Man's American Butt Search. You are correct.
Yeah. Donna
might win. Donna
and Mike win.
We did a good job.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot. That was fun.
See you later. Bye-bye. See you later. That is a good game. Rob, how come you can't come up with good bits like that? The whole time that the guy was giving us that great bit, that just some guy phoning in, Rob was on the internet looking up the TV show called Here's Boomer.
Jesus Christ.
Plot outline.
You won't let it go.
Plot outline. The adventures of Boomer, a shy dog who travels the country helping those in trouble. It was on NBC from 1980 to 1982.
I think Sunday nights at 7:30, but I
guess. But who's counting? Yeah. Here's Boomer.
That's all right. Don't worry about the show. Don't worry about your goddamn TV trivia. Listen, we'll get to some of the entries for the Las Vegas Style Show Contest.
All right.
I don't think we've even, you know, my God, we've not even started rating women yet.
No.
And we'll take more. We've not taken any phone calls today. Your phone calls. All of that real hodgepodge coming up. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
From what I've seen of their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight. Don't forget, we're coming to somebody's home a week from tomorrow night for the live Las Vegas style show in your home. You still got time to fax your entry. You still got time to fax your entry in on our toll-free line. Toll-free fax line, 800-636-6410.
Ready to answer the hot number, Don and Mike.
Yep, we are. Okay, we'll get to some of your phone calls here. Robbie, hand me some of the entries, please, for the Las Vegas style show. We've been blown away. We've not spent enough time reading on the air some of the really, really great letters we've received.
They're pouring in.
And we're going somewhere next Saturday with the entire Las Vegas style show to someone's house.
Wow.
Let me see. Go through a couple here. Don and Mike, here are the reasons why you should have your Las Vegas style show at our places. First off, it's only 40 miles away from D.C. Then you can go home that night and not be traveling. That way your wives won't be pissed. My neighbor has an 8-acre farm and I have a 12-acre farm. Instead of having the show on our houses, my neighbor said we can use his barn. It's got heat, lights, and two separate entrances.
Put on a show.
We'll get a Don's John. Don and Mike, you can use the restrooms in our house. We know it has to be clean, unlike the Don's John. Plenty of parking. VIP parking for Don and Mike and show at my neighbor's house. All others will park in my pasture. We live in the middle of nowhere. Noise and neighbors aren't a factor. Our town has only 3 cops. We can round up lots of girls, whores, beverages, food, etc.
Wow.
You name it, and we can do it. Here's a dig on Mike. I'm younger than you. I'm 37, not 40-something. I don't know why he's directing the dig at you.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, what's the deal? I don't know. He's younger than me. It says, here's a dig on Mike.
I'm younger than you. Does it continue?
Yes. I've got 3 kids.
I have two.
I've got 3 dogs. Well, now, hold on.
I have 3 dogs.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I guess it's one against you and one against me.
I'm trying to figure this out.
The first one says, I'm younger than you. I'm 37, not 40-something. Then this one must be for me. I've got 3 dogs, 1 German Shepherd, 1 Black Lab, and 1 Doberman Pinscher, unlike your 3 faggot dogs.
So that's kind of digging at you.
Yeah, although one of my dogs is a German Shepherd.
True.
I was born and raised in Vienna, like your wife. Was your wife raised in Vienna?
No.
I grew up in Vienna.
Well, my wife.
Rob grew up in Vienna.
My wife.
Not your wife.
Grew up in Rockville. And Rob's mentioned I went to Madison High School like Rob Spiewak did.
No Warhawks. He's probably a jerk.
last but not least, look at my license below. The guy's last name is O'Mara.
Oh, really?
Ah. Hi, Cousin Mike.
Oh, no.
Scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Don't mention my number, name, or address. Well, I'll just tell you the last name is
okay.
O'Hara.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
Let me see. Dear Don and Mike. All right, toodaloo, ass. Dear Don and Mike, your Super Bowl contest angers me. Oh, I read this one already about the poopy diaper.
Right.
Let me see. Hold on a second. You know what? Here we go. Don and Mike, top 10 reasons to have the Vegas-style show at my home on February 2nd. 10, I live with two hot chicks. 9, each of my roommates has at least 10 recently graduated college-age hot chick friends.
Wow.
9, I get a discount at the liquor store. More beer, more liquor. See number 7. Number 7, three words. Drunk hot chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, I am hopelessly irresponsible, but I do have a vacuum cleaner with attachments. Number 5, my roommate always keeps her gun collection locked. Number 4, despite the fact that my house has huge plate glass windows and sliding doors, no one has ever smashed through them with their head. That's for you, Mike.
That's funny.
Number 3, I think we can all agree that Annapolis, Maryland is the Las Vegas of the East Coast.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Number 2, going to the bathroom outside is not only allowed but encouraged. And the number 1 reason you should have your Vegas-style show at my house on February 2nd, the number 1 reason... Bobbing for kittens.
Oh, no. I don't write them.
Save that one. I like that one.
I just read them.
That's terrific.
Okay, let's
kind of like that one. Dear Don and Mike.
Goodbye.
Bobbing for kittens. Buzz is turned off by that one.
Disgusting.
You don't care for that one either? He's just kidding, guys.
Dear Don and Mike, after driving to the San Francisco Bay Area for 5 years, and probably the next 20, all I have to look forward to is a stress-induced cardiac arrest. I listen to your show both in Sacramento and San Francisco. Let me see. A Las Vegas-style show. Why you should come to my home. You could broadcast from my garage. Well, first off, it's not a broadcast. We're just coming out there to do a show for you.
Right.
No too cold, and I'd have to cook my crystal meth elsewhere. Don, you can wear your Packer uniform. Mike, before you start making those gestures...
What? I didn't make any gestures at all.
I believe the gentleman lives in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. I'm sorry.
He listens on both San Francisco and Sacramento.
I wasn't making any gestures at all.
Neither was
reason,
Rob. For whatever reason. When I mentioned Sacramento...
You didn't join me that time.
I did first.
All I need was mentioned Sacramento, and you made that gesture. Yeah, that one. The one you're making right
there.
That's the one. See, right, after driving in the San Francisco Bay Area for 5 years.
That gesture is the equivalent of like a thumbs up or a way to go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure, keep on,
thumbs
keeping
up.
On.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure it is.
Hello,
okay.
Friends.
Anyway, Don, you can wear your Packer uniform and I would wear my Spider-Man suit.
Oh.
And we could sit and wait until the county mental health services arrive. Mike, you and I can watch Sex in the City reruns. That brown-haired whore doesn't have anything on... Lori do a Fox News. Oh, the deeds I could do with that mouth.
Wow.
If that doesn't work out, we can exchange meds. Your Paxil for my Zoloft.
Oh, wow.
Rob, I would be honored to show you my Klan and Nazi collection.
Oh, no.
Later, we could knit a Klan meeting and volley radical slurs as we drive with the stars and bars fluttering in the wind, mounted on a bolt where the tailgate once was. Charles Broyhill. I have monkey bars in the backyard with my dog Rufus. You two can room together. He licks himself a lot, not because he can, but because he cannot make his paws into fists. Ken Stevens, I'll invite my boss over and the both of you can lie to each other all night.
That's good.
Lisa, you can talk, visit with my wife. Homo Joe, you can talk, visit with my wife. Charlie Stossel, my daughter has a rather impressive Barbie collection. However, you will not be allowed alone in her room. Mr. 40, break out the Saint Ides.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get keyed and lip sync old NWA songs. Tom Gavin, you and Dennis Murphy can play Hooked on Phonics. Wendell Hall, you can get bombed with my neighbor in the side yard. Then you can fix my garage door opener and the light switch in the bedroom. Buzz.
Yes.
You know what I've got for you.
Uh-oh.
And this comes from L. Lee from San Francisco.
Wow. All right.
Let me see. Okay. Here's maybe the dumbest one we've received.
Uh-huh.
The guy faxed the letter in. Dear Don and Mike, can you please fax me with your fax number so I can enter your contest?
Wow.
This comes from Dust Hardwood.
That is unquestionably the dumbest one we've got.
Can you please fax me the number where I can fax to enter your contest? And
even though he has faxed that to the contest
this to
number,
the contest.
Dust Hardwood.
Hey, dumbass. Yes, right. Toodaloo.
Wow.
Let me see. Dear Don and Mike, I'd like to say that I am a justified loser that can make your Vegas-style show happen. I try not to think of myself as a loser, but when it's staring you directly in the face, you can't hide from it. I may be a loser, but I have a lot of attributes that will contribute to a successful show in my house. First, I have a variety of friends that almost surely will die of liver complications in due time. We're a group of abnormals and rejects, but we have one thing in common. We love the Don and Mike show.
That's nice.
We're a variety of mutants that stretch from young, old, fat, skinny, big-breasted, small-breasted, crippled, and downright alcoholics that will be willing to do anything to make this show happen. In other words, mine is a perfect home for your show. I can hold up to 100 people without using the backyard. The only neighbor that would cause any havoc just died, so it's perfect. No complaints.
I'm sorry.
The rest of my neighbors are devoted Don and Mike fans. Let me know that no matter what kind of people you're dealing with, overpassed parties, nudity, and panty tossing have become normal. My only concern is the $500 allowance I'll have to spend on beverages. Again, I'm not lying when I say my friends are full-blown alcoholics. But don't worry, Don and Mike. I'll provide all necessary adjustments to make sure the booze is flowing strong. I will provide you, Don, with an endless supply of cigars, Mike, cigarettes, and pills. Everybody, whiskey, martinis, and whatever Lisa wants, which is most everything from what I've heard.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I almost forgot, Buzz. I have a big bag of wacky tobacco waiting on the kitchen counter for you.
Where do people get these ideas?
I can see it now, and it's going to be the best goddamn Las Vegas-style show ever. Sky's the limits, boys. It's up to you to make it happen. Give me the okay and let the good times roll.
Boy, seems to be focusing on the substances.
Yes. Greg from California.
Craggy, buddy.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Don and Mike, I would like you to have your Las Vegas-style show at my home, but I live in Frederick, and I don't think the liquor board would like that very much.
Oh, all right.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Well, thank you.
Let me see.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Don and Mike, I should receive the home version of the Las Vegas-style show for many reasons. One, I've never won anything on the radio. Two, I'm a victim of your KHTK delay, so I can never call the show anymore. Three, I can't call to talk because Joe always screens me out and tells me you're on delay, you don't know the topic. Four, I'm a four-hour club member. Five, I have a website for my band. We can post any photos. Six, being in a rock band, I can get 8 to 10 whore girls. Seven, I'm a fat F just like you. Eight, I usually have to move on March 1st. I usually have to move on March 1st.
Fascinating, really is.
So this would be a great send-off.
Legal thing.
Nine, and promote the show at our gigs. Ten, hanging out with Don and Mike, having a drink, having some smoke with Buzz.
Wait a minute.
Taking a picture with Remy, exchanging ideas, and we share in common with Rob would be a truly memorable experience. That's from Tim, Raider fan in the Bay Area.
Yay!
Okay, wow. Let me see. He moves every March 1st.
Usually.
God damn. Let me see. See, I'm a new listener and I enjoy your party. I'm a new listener. I enjoy your show. I want the party at my house because I am a real party monster.
Ooh.
I'm a 27-year-old man with an assload of whore friends.
Call the whores. That's funny.
Okay, here's one from Salt Lake City. Don and Mike, I won't beg. I won't talk about my cancer and how much time I have left.
Oh, no.
Let me just say, Salt Lake City sucks. If ever a city were more ripe for a collection of hooligans like you, I'd be hard-pressed to know what the city is. Let me say, for some reason, I haven't have any idea why. Perhaps it's the repressive nature of the community. There's an itch more powerful than crabs for an opportunity like the one you presented. Not to mention that per capita, I have yet to find a town, and I've lived in many places that has so many beautiful women, and not only that, but so many women in such of a properly timed excuse to let down their hair.
Interesting.
The sewer system is complex. Underneath this city, things happen that would bring the powers that be to their knees.
Wow.
I believe it's time to invite the subculture above ground. In fact, I believe it's your duty. God knows I've labored. As close as I've come to, it's yet to take place. I can promise you girls, naked girls, and ensure the indulgence of the illegal sort. It's being kept hidden from prying eyes. I guarantee the Olympics take the back seat for at least a night. I'm asking you consider Salt Lake City and my home for the party. I enjoy nothing more than pissing off the Mormons. I think you would enjoy it as well.
A little anger there.
Right. Well, come on. The guy lives in Salt Lake City.
And he has cancer.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Let me read one more. This one's from Portland, Oregon. Dear Don and Mike, hey, buddy, I'm going to show you a party that will knock your skid-marked undies off your asses. I'm in the process of buying a home, so we'll take over my mom and dad's house in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
You'll have limo service from Portland to Eugene. They have a pool that will be heated as well as a hot tub where my naked chicks will hang out. Think of naked cannonball games we can play.
It's naked chicks at mom and dad's house.
There's a 63-inch TV with a Dolby Digital Theater to watch favorites like Bambi, The Wizard of Oz, and Angry Anal. We'll also play games like the Rush Limbaugh Pianta. Pin Frida's hands.
Pinata, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
Pinata.
Pin Frida's hands on Don's big hairy balls.
Wow.
And drink until Cher looks hot.
Oh, wow. See, a little anger in these letters.
I've got the pizza guy in my back pocket, and my dad sells cigars for a living. I know how much you love smoking them. Eugene is a college town, home of the Ducks, so we can round up party people. I'll even take you to the bowling alley. Imagine we can be in the presence of some of the greatest athletes God put on earth. Dave from Portland. P.S. Can you bring Leah Remini? P.P.S. Leave Dennis Murphy at home. P.P.P.S. Rob.
Yes.
H.H.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Seems to be a theme running through all these.
Oh, God.
A couple of themes.
Well, you know, you got to say, we sure are getting letters.
We are indeed.
And we're going to pick the one that's the best on Monday. And wherever the letter comes from, that's where we're going next Saturday.
All right.
So you want to use this weekend and use this time.
Get your letters in, folks.
So fax them in at 800-636-6410. Oh, here you go. Rob, give me a hand with this stuff, would you,
sure,
please?
Absolutely.
For God's sake. What a mess. What a mess, all these entries here. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I like the Salt Lake City guy.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and on Monday, what we're going to do, I think, is pick the top five letters.
Very good.
And we're going to end up having a vote among all of us here, but we're going to let you, the listener, have a vote as well, where you guys will use the instant feedback where you can get on the Internet. Yeah, I'm fond of, well, first of all, I think the letter about the lesbians, including the New England Patriots cheerleaders, mm-hmm. I think that is a fake letter from Glenda Janica.
I agree.
I am fond of the rhyme that we got a couple of days ago, the limerick.
Early on, read a letter from some women.
Yeah.
We're inviting us out there.
I also like
Couch That Seated 20.
Right. I also liked, I've liked a couple of the letters from Sacramento. I definitely liked at least one of those letters today from the San Francisco area. And I would agree with you that the whole Salt Lake thing really kind of appeals to me.
Very interesting.
The thought that of all the cities that we go to do that show at someone's home, to make it Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. All right. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll let you know. Listen on Monday. You guys will have a say. Hello. Oh, Shiloh's on the phone. Hi, Shiloh.
Holy God damn it.
Hi, Shiloh. I'm looking at your picture in Playboy.
You are.
Hi, Shiloh. Oh,
you guys made me listen to every freaking entry, I swear.
You know, we've not done our job. Please, everybody, go to Playboy.
No, you guys forgot me.
Go to Playboy.com and vote for Shiloh McCormick as Cyber Girl of the Year.
You just have to come down
Please,
and visit more
vote
often.
For me.
You have to come down and visit more often, Shiloh.
I know I do. I'm really sorry. You guys are on early for me now. Before it was more convenient.
Oh,
you know?
Sorry, it was more convenient for you, boy. It was more convenient for us to plug your stuff when you would come down and take your clothes off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, make sure. If I win Cyber Girl of the Year, you bet your ass I'll be there taking my clothes off.
All right, well,
but the voting ends on Monday, the 28th. If everybody could please vote, it costs $5 to join the Cyber Club. I know it's a pain in the butt, but I'll tell you this. If I win, you better bet that I'm going to have a Hess Hugh Hefner style lingerie party. I will take my winnings and hire the Playmates myself to come to the party.
Wow.
And everybody that voted will come. Drinks, everything. I'll bring out a nightclub. I will take every last winning money that I have to throw the hugest party to celebrate. So
and everybody will come.
There we go. Yeah.
Everybody will come. Okay.
No, I will. Okay, so if everybody could. And also, if everybody goes to the newsstand, I'm on the cover and in the new Playboy Sexy Celebrity 2002 issue. Which is
oh,
cool. Go check it out. They put my... Ground Zero story and stuff, and I'm on the cover with the MPD New York and stuff like that.
Well, you're all over the place, Shiloh.
Look at that. She is really happening.
Yep.
It's a good, it's starting out to be a good year. It's only January, and a lot of cool stuff's been happening, so we'll see what happens.
All right,
but
we'll
it's Shiloh. The girl of the year happens.
Shiloh, I got it. I got it. Got it. Right. Message delivered. Everybody go to Playboy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you got to pay the $5, do it. And if she gets voted in, giant party, everybody comes.
There we go.
Yes, you
okay.
got it.
Well, we love you, Shiloh.
Thank you. I love you guys, too. And thank you so much for everything.
You got it.
Thank
bye,
you.
Honey.
Bye-bye.
And Shiloh, she is also in this month's Playboy, February 2002.
Page 69.
That's correct.
Not that I have it memorized, but she's on page 69 if you want to check her out. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
How you doing? I love the show.
Thank you very much.
Listen, I'm calling about my friend Dante. He wrote the letter for your Las Vegas party.
Yeah, the guy who wrote the letter about the lesbians and the Patriots cheerleader?
Yeah, I work at a consulting firm in Farmingdale, and I work with him, and I'm totally being 100% honest with you, it's not Glenn the Jenner.
And he does have the access to these hot girls?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean,
as far as I know.
Through work, but yeah,
as far as I know.
No, listen, I want to tell you this. This douchebag Glenn the Janitor, he called and he said he would write a letter that we would pick that would blow the other letters away.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
And this letter we got from this guy named Dante, incidentally, as in Dante's Inferno, was so over the top.
Yeah, listen to the letter.
It was so over the top. So, I mean, the letter was dripping with lesbianism. He throws in, the girl went to Harvard Law School, and another girl is a Patriots cheerleader, and they love getting naked and playing with each other.
They love
Come on. We know when we're being set up.
I know it sounds far-fetched, and I know the guy can. I work with him. I don't know if all that's true or not, but he says it's true.
Have him call.
He
doesn't want to call because we heard you guys say yesterday that you didn't want him to call unless Glenn the Janitor was on the phone at the same time.
At the same time, yeah. Although, who's to say that Glenn the Janitor wouldn't put you up to making this call?
I mean, there's no way to prove it.
And there's the outside shot that Glenn the Janitor hasn't come up with his letter yet. You never know.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I'm sure that this is the Glenn the Janitor.
I really wish there was some way I could prove it to you guys.
I'll have Dante call us.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Dante.
So I wonder why it mattered so much to that fella, if it was his friend who
maybe
wrote the
letter. Wants to go to the party.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I didn't like? Does he really have these hot girls? To the best of my knowledge.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
This is Crazy Otto. Otto Nuff, the bus driver.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to know something that I noticed that's funny? The guy who drove the bus, who kidnapped the bus yesterday, his name is Otto.
Right.
The name of the bus driver on The Simpsons
is Otto.
Is named Otto as well.
Very strange. Have we gotten any more information on this guy?
A little, yes, and it's coming up.
All right, so Buzz is very territorial now about the news. Buzz is taking a leak all over the news now.
We have the very latest?
That's yes, we do.
Hello. Don Mike Show.
As always.
Hello. Hello, hi.
This is a mountain man out north of Spokane, Washington, about 40 miles.
Yes, mountain man.
And I called to request an old favorite, and it's one that we really miss out here in the hinterlands, and that's Dialing for Dildos.
Dialing for Dildos? Oh, you mean when girls call in and play with their things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, man, I sure hope so.
Okay.
All right, go cut down a tree.
And here's another vote for... Lewis, do you find me annoying? Glenn is the most annoying sumbitch I've ever heard in my life.
So you hate Glenn the Janitor more than you hate Lewis the retard?
I don't even touch my glenitals.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
Mike. Okay, old timer.
Thank you. Bye bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah,
Hello.
That's right. He's the funniest man in the forest.
Hello.
Don Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on? This is Dante.
Dante.
Yes.
Hey, Dante.
How are you?
Okay.
You don't believe me, huh?
No.
Why not?
Because we don't.
I do not know Glenn the janitor, but I'm kind of wishing I did so I could find him and hunt him down and beat him up.
All right, now tell us about your letter again.
I'm the one who told you about the New England Patriot cheerleader, and she was a Harvard grad, and actually it's her sister who was the one that was in Road Trip, did a little nudie scene.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's another point of the letter that we didn't mention on purpose, the Tom Green movie. You said if you want to see this chick naked, you can go to the Tom Green movie and check her out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to believe?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't know. Listen, Dante, you'll probably be one of the final five. We'll probably get you on the phone next week.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Where are you? Sure. Now I don't even know if it's true if I want to go.
That's very hicky.
Very strange.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I went to high school with both those girls that guy's talking about.
Oh, and now all of a sudden we're getting a flurry of support calls.
No, I swear to God, man. It's the truth. I can send you high school yearbook photos if you want.
That won't be necessary.
No, thanks.
All right, but yeah, I know one of them was a New England Patriots cheerleader, and my friend dated one of them for a little while.
Why do I think the night of the show she wouldn't be showing
okay,
up?
Okay, thank you, my friend. Thank you.
An emergency away.
Hello, like 18 guys in there. Yeah, we went to school with her.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Oops. Oh, hold on a second. Hey, Mr. 40's on the line. Hey, Mr. 40.
Yo, what's up, brother?
Yo, yo.
What's going on?
Right, right.
Happy Friday, 40.
I wasn't paying attention. I was calling y'all to invite y'all to hang out with the fellas, man. I didn't know you was in New York.
Yeah, we're in New York. We're not going to be back for a while. But you're coming to my house next weekend, right?
Yeah. I was going to come to the show, too, the night before, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're coming out to the Las Vegas style show.
Yeah,
right.
Wherever we go, right.
That's right, Rob. 2 days in a row, dog.
That's right, Robbie. 2 nights in a row with the colors, Rob.
I'll try to get the handshake right.
What, Robbie, what?
I will try to get the handshake right. All I can promise.
Yeah, 40 is, I'm telling you.
DC Live, I was going to tell y'all, come out and hang out with us tonight.
Nah, we're not gonna be there tonight. What are you doing tonight?
I'm performing down at DC Live in DC on F Street, or they call it the spot down.
Ah, the spa. So what are you doing?
Going down and have a couple of drinks and party with us here. You had a good time.
Got it. You're calling in for a plug. You plugging your gig?
No, not at all. I'm calling to invite you down to hang out.
No, that's all right. Listen, I'm not. Hey, listen, dog. I'm with you.
Barbershop. So I was gonna say you come out and hang out tonight.
I'm with you. I mean, if you're doing a gig, go ahead and plug it. Where the hell are you gonna be?
Oh, at D.C., the spot. It's on F Street down in D.C. I don't know.
All right, babe. Go see Mr. 40. He'll be at the spot.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to do it up.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Wait till my next.
Have you been drinking, 40?
Huh?
Have you been drinking?
Okay. That answers that.
Just a little. So I got to get ready.
Happy Friday.
Just thinking about my neighbors Mr. 40. I mean, actually, I'm not concerned about Mr. 40 coming over.
Of course
absolutely not. But I'm a little concerned about his brother, Grady Smokes, coming over to my
Grady
house.
Grady Smoke could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, he can't bring that girlfriend, Mary Jane, over.
You know who else is coming?
Who?
Richard Kind.
Oh,
the dick from Spencer.
That should be fun.
All right, see you, 40.
All right,
have a good weekend.
Right.
Go see Mr. 40 tonight, whatever the hell he's doing. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Happy New Year, Don and Mike.
Well, there's a voice from the past.
Hello, Dennis.
How you doing?
You know what, Dennis?
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing.
What?
I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'm looking at my watch and I'm seeing it's January 25th.
Yes, it is.
And that is exactly 1 month after Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And?
Oh, Christmas presents.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I trust they're all purchased already.
I'm still thinking on a couple of people, but I got some of them purchased.
Whose have you gotten?
No purchases yet.
Nobody's gotten a present.
No purchases yet.
Of course.
Dennis, Happy New Year, though.
Yeah, Happy New Year. But don't worry. I will present you with a gift in hand.
Dennis?
When?
You know, we're going to see you next Saturday night for the Las Vegas-style show.
Next Saturday night.
You're being too easy.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Dennis, what in the back of your mind, had you hoped that they had forgotten about the Christmas gift?
Hey, Dennis?
Mike, hey, listen.
Dennis, listen to me. We're not going to really have time for the whole gift exchange on the Las Vegas-style show night. We really could probably have some... we could probably have some time Monday.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, Monday is a bad day. I'm still doing UN stuff.
It's a good day. Monday the 28th?
You're doing UN stuff?
No, I'm doing UN stuff.
UN? That's what it said, UN, like United Nations?
No, UN.
Now, that's what you always do the end of January.
No, I'm busy.
Oh, year end.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the year ended 25 days ago.
No. Financial stuff.
No, yes.
Financial.
All right, how about Tuesday?
Can we make it in February?
Oh, God.
What? No, we are not accepting.
No, it's Tuesday or nothing.
We are not accepting your Christmas gifts.
What time on Tuesday?
February.
Tuesday by noon?
Last year was March 12th.
I know last year was March 12th, but that was because last year we were in much better moods.
Okay. I promise I will be down there the first week in February. Promise.
No.
No, I'm not accepted.
Okay, well, I can't get away.
You what?
I can't get away from you know what.
Could he drop the gifts off before start of business on Tuesday?
Yes.
Sure.
You don't have to be here.
There's an out for you, Dennis.
You don't have to come during the show.
Personally give them to you.
No.
No.
Perhaps a note would be nice, but...
No, but you don't have to be here personally. You could drop them off on your way to work on Monday.
And I just realized that I said on the radio, you don't have to come during the show.
Right.
But it's true. You don't have to come during the show.
Here's, you know what he could do? He could drop the gifts off before start of business and then call us during his lunch break from the payphone at the Metro.
Bingo!
All right, Dennis, so we'll look for those gifts next week.
Okay, next week.
Before Monday's show.
That's impossible.
No, it's quite impossible.
Why is that impossible?
This weekend is booked.
What do you mean this weekend is booked?
I'm busy.
You don't have time to go out and buy...
Did you hear that tone?
You don't have time to go out and buy a Christmas gift for your best buddies?
Okay.
A month after Christmas?
You know, the total time you spend on that is normally 40 minutes.
It takes me 8 hours.
Oh, you're full of crap, Dennis.
Oh, okay. Last year it took me 2 hours. Okay.
What?
Monday.
Huh?
Monday.
You have 67 hours.
Okay, I will get you the present, but...
Monday.
But what?
How about next week?
No!
Monday.
Monday.
Okay, Monday.
There'll be a package Monday. There when we arrive Monday.
Wrapped.
Wrapped.
Monday.
With Christmas wrapping paper.
Come on, not shopping bags.
Where you got them at Fair Oaks Mall.
And not newspaper. Christmas paper.
As a matter of fact... Not Fair Oaks Mall, either.
Why not Fair Oaks?
Too convenient.
Oh, what? You're going to exchange them as usual?
No, I've kept your gifts over the years sometimes.
So have I.
As have I, Dennis.
No, a couple of years ago, you went back to see how much I paid for.
I did indeed.
We did, because we were curious to see how much you paid for our gifts.
Dennis, you know, you would think your first call of 2002 would not be nearly this difficult.
Dennis, there's someone on the phone who wants to chat with you.
And who's that?
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Oh, God.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
No, it's Charlie.
No, Tom, be yourself, because Dennis is on the phone.
Hey, you nut. You're not going down there Monday. You got to drop the presents off.
Hey, Tom, I bet you could come by and bring us gifts on Monday, couldn't you?
Yes, I can.
See?
I'm going out tonight and get the gifts. I'm going to see what I can get for you all for Monday.
You know what? What the hell is that? What the hell is that? Hello?
Jesus Christ.
What the hell's happening?
My God in heaven, what happened?
Tom, Dennis?
Somebody lay a warhead on Tom?
Ow, Tom.
Hello?
All right, hold on. Let me separate them.
That was terrific.
Wow. Ooh, wait a minute.
That was horrible.
Is this Dennis? Hold on.
Okay. Now it's Tom's line.
Tom?
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 Tom said he was going out tonight.
Tom, if you're able, call back.
Tom, if you can call us, call back, okay. Please.
I don't know what happened there. Dennis? Dennis?
We've lost them.
They're all gone. I don't know if we just, like, blew up the phone system or what.
Didn't sound good. It did not sound good at all.
Let me see.
That's all.
Hold on a second.
Well, we took a call from Dennis after it.
No, look at that. See, Rob, I can't even get a dial tone up on this thing, man. Look at that. Let me try the other phone bank. Let me see. That's the other phone bank. The New York lines are working, but the national ones have gone down.
Johnny's flying in here now like the wind.
You got a dial tone. No.
Exploded.
Now. Okay, try now.
Okay, try it now. Try it now.
There we go.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, got it. Got it.
What does Tom Gavin do?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. Now, listen, here's the deal, Tom.
Talk in your normal voice, Tom.
Hi, guys. Here's the deal.
Yes.
I'm going out Friday night to JV's. I'm going to see if what I can get. There's 10.
And Tom?
And then he dropped off the face of the earth.
Now, that's not a problem with the phone system.
And
that's
I'm going to see if I can get those pins for you all.
What pins?
What pins?
There's a...
Oh, the police officer pins.
There's American flag pins.
American flag pins.
You gave them to us already, though.
Hey, Tom, can't you go shopping?
Yeah, I'm going shopping. I'm going to get...
Listen, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. I'm going to go to the tobacco place and get... Like a case of
Fuente cigars.
A case of cigars from my Don and a
beautiful
and a drum drumstick from Mike.
For, very good
for his drum set.
Very nice, Tom.
What do you want, Rob?
I like Beck's brand beer.
Beck's brand beer.
And you know what Buzz wants?
Buzz, what do you want?
You know, Tom.
What?
I think you know.
Watch it.
Weed.
Oh,
Tom, listen, you know what? Here's the deal. It's going to be a race to see whoever shows up on Monday first with Christmas gifts for us.
Yeah.
Will be the only one invited to the Las Vegas-style show on Saturday
night. There you go.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, so it's a race between you and Dennis.
Okay.
All right, bye, Tom. And if neither of them shows, neither of them comes with us.
Oh, no.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Is that fair to the listener?
Hello. I think I'm thinking about the listener there, Rob. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, we got to go to Buzz. Oh, Jesus, we're late. Yesterday, we were so early yesterday. Today, we're so late.
Right. We're right on time.
Well, the amazing race is on. Who will be the first to bestow us with Christmas gifts 1 month late?
Yeah.
Will it be Tom or will it be Dennis? First one to the station Monday morning will be back at WJFK. Will come with us to the Las Vegas-style show.
The amazing race.
The other one will be left out in the cold.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's buzzing.
He made it up.
All right, Buzz, what's your lead story today?
Today, a hockey dad goes to the penalty box.
Oh, that douchebag. Okay.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike show.
That's very...
From Vegeta.
This is the Don and Mike show.
The word from Planet
Crackpot. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe.
All right, we're ready for Buzz here.
The most excellent program, The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz brought to you today by Amtrak. 1-800-USA-RAIL. I want to thank Amtrak for getting lots of our crew to New York when we come up on a regular basis.
I'll be on them in an hour or so.
1-800-USA-RAIL. Thank you, Amtrak. Now here is Buzz Girdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's 6 to 10 for the hockey dad who beat another hockey dad to death in Boston. Thomas Duta was sentenced today after being convicted of involuntary manslaughter 2 weeks ago. So you kill a guy, you get 6 years.
It depends. It varies.
You murder
greatly.
A guy, you beat a guy to death, and you get 6 years.
This 6 to 10 sentence is double the usual sentence for involuntary manslaughter.
Okay.
So for the judge, this was a tough move. Prosecutors called the man a bully. His lawyer said he just fell victim to a bad set of circumstances because the two fathers were arguing, ironically, over violence between the kids on the ice.
Listen, I don't know if you guys remember when Bart was, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, when I coached in that league.
Yeah, the basketball league.
The basketball league. Right. And I would come in on Monday and tell you the stories.
I remember you talked about the dads that went out of control.
The dads that just went ape ass over calls and like would scream at the refs and scream at the kids.
Yes.
And the one coach who, God damn this guy. What he would do is, and this has nothing to do with yelling or screaming at kids, but he took it so seriously. And now you're talking about 10-year-old boys playing basketball in
right.
a youth league. He would spend all day Saturday going to all the different games, and he would videotape the games so that he could come back at home and analyze the tapes
ridiculous.
Of the other boys.
These kids.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, you know what our game plan was? And I think we had two plays.
Right.
That was it. We had either play number one
right.
or play number two.
Go out and have fun.
And as I recall, the team went all the way to the championship game.
See? Right.
And we pissed off all the other fathers because the other dads were like, okay, we're going to run the triangle, the option. Now we're going to do the give and go. We're going to do the light show. We're going to go up and down. Push it, push it, push it. Meanwhile, my guys are going up and down the court now. I'm either saying play number one
uh-huh.
or play number two.
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
The other breaking story today, a former vice chairman of Enron was found dead in an apparent suicide.
Well,
John C. Baxter found inside a car at 2:30 this morning in Sugarland, Texas, with a gunshot wound to his head. Police say they did find a note with no signs of foul play. Baxter was one of the executives who reportedly made big profits while his company went bankrupt. He was 42 years old.
You know what you got to do? You got to give me a list, Buzz, of all those Enron executives. We should have a contest to pick who's the next one that's going to kill himself.
It's amazing. It really is.
It is. Turns out the 64-year-old driver who took a busload of kids across state lines yesterday was not simply lost. Police and parents suspected the worst when Otto Nuss's school bus didn't show up at a private school outside of Philadelphia. The bus was missing for
My name is Otto. I love to get Otto.
Yeah, Otto. The bus was missing for 6 hours until it was found just outside Washington. The 13 kids were okay, but police say they found a loaded semi-automatic rifle on the bus, and motorists
My name is Otto. I love to get Otto.
Motorists say they saw the kids waving for help through the bus windows.
Oh, my God.
The driver gave himself up and reportedly hasn't been the same since he broke a side view mirror in an accident 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that'll kick it over.
Otto. I love to get Otto.
That'll kick you over the top.
In this guy's case, he was kind of a perfectionist, they say, and this really bothered him. He'd been very depressed for 2 weeks because he busted that mirror.
I am so sorry, Otto.
He says he just thought the kids ought to see the nation's capital. He now faces kidnapping charges.
Oh, you got one more? Oh, you got something?
My name is Otto. I love to get Otto.
I do.
To hear his parents tell it, American Taliban fighter John Walker Lind loves America.
You know what?
F that.
Kill that son of a bitch and put it on primetime television.
You know, I really think that this story, I just wish to God it would go away. Because we are making so much of a big deal. There's so much of a bigger picture when you're talking about this whole terrorism thing.
True.
And all we want to talk about is this dumbass. I'm so sick of it. And you know they're going to turn it into a circus. And I think it sucks.
Yeah. And no doubt eventually a TV movie. Quoting his dad, who met with his son before yesterday's court appearance, John didn't take up arms against America. He never meant to harm any American. He never did harm any American.
Right.
The 20-year-old's parents saw him for the first time in 2 years yesterday.
You know, if they're so goddamn concerned about him now, where the hell were they when he was over there for 3 years?
Right.
F them.
The U.S. says John was a teenager in California's Marin County when he first pledged his allegiance to Osama bin Laden.
Let's kill his parents, too.
The U.S. also says John admits he was trained at bin Laden's camps in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but he didn't mean any harm towards Americans.
No,
he was just trained at bin Laden's camps.
He loves America.
He's a good boy.
He loves America.
Military officials
cut his nuts off.
They want the National Guard troops to bug out of America's airports. The Secretary of the Army is asking the Secretary of Transportation to replace the troops with civilian security personnel.
God damn it, honey.
We just got them in there half an hour ago.
God damn it, honey.
6,000 troops wearing fatigues and carrying M16 rifles have been watching 400 airports since September 11th.
Yeah, I like that.
That costs a lot of money, and officials say the troops are now needed at the Olympics in Salt Lake City.
Oh, please, come on. No, they're not.
Jesus Christ.
No, they're not. No one wants
to. You know, we finally get this thing.
Kill our bobsledders.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't be pleased.
I mean, the short memory of all this crap, and I mean, it's not like we're just sitting on our hands again waiting for something else to happen.
You know what? We're going to get a good perspective on this Monday when our friend Michael Weiss, who is a world-class figure skater, and incidentally, not one of those homos. I mean, we've been through this.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right, but he's not a homo. He's got a nice wife. He likes regular straight sex with her. Right.
Fan of this show.
Yeah, and he's coming on Monday, and I think he's going maybe directly Monday from the show or like that night. Out to Salt Lake to get ready for the Olympics. He'll give us the lowdown on what his thoughts are on the security issues. And I'm sure that, you know, yeah, we need to beef up the security. But I think if you think about who deserves the coverage more, the regular people who are flying every day and keeping this company moving, the company being the United States, or our athletes who are in the Olympics.
Well, I think everybody
and the athletes from around the world. I mean, that's fine, but
I just don't understand why. Really, I mean, it's the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
They haven't been in our airports for any length of time whatsoever,
not that long.
And they're already calling for them to go. This whole thing really, it just pisses me off, and it's moving back towards the crappy security
that we had before.
I just want to say one more thing. Am I alone in thinking that really the only athletes that we are obligated to give security to are the American athletes?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Let the rest of them fend for themselves.
Exactly.
Bring their own security?
Yes.
BYOS.
And so many helpers as we try to improve airline security. Yesterday, a man called a radio show in Columbus, Ohio, to say he had just carried a knife with a 3-inch blade past security as he prepared to board a U.S. Airways flight out of Pittsburgh. Knives with blades 1 inch or longer are prohibited and should have been spotted by security personnel, but we, the citizens, are not supposed to be testing the system, which is why the radio show's producer called the FBI, which arrested the man before he could board the plane. 37-year-old Robert Hedrick of Delaware is now facing concealed weapons charges. He says he just forgot he was wearing a belt buckle that contained a knife.
Well, that's a douche move by the producer as well of the radio show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, hello, this is Lisa Herndon. Hello, FBI. This is Lisa Herndon. Could you imagine all the calls Lisa could make to the FBI just based on the phone calls we get on a regular basis?
Oh, my God.
Show?
No time.
You know, well, she does occasionally.
And I say, if you got some guy who's not going to kill anybody, who's just trying to make a point.
Right.
Guy's calling up and saying, guess what? I just got through, you know, and I've got a knife. Well, don't rat the guy out. Yeah. I mean, I think the guy's providing a service. Maybe I'm wrong. Although I've never been wrong before.
That's true.
Maybe this is the first time I'm wrong.
But I think it's a dumbass move for a guy to try to get a knife on an airplane to prove a point.
Why
play those kind of games? I don't get it. Why?
You know,
I mean, there's serious people that are trying to travel in this country. Why play that dumbass game?
I disagree, but on the same hand, though, I don't want to be the dumbass who's going to try to do it.
Well, I agree.
But
I don't have any sympathy for the dumbass that tries to do it.
We should have, there should be people who are in charge of security who are trying to smuggle stuff through to see
if
our system works.
I 100% agree with that.
And I think the reason you've got so many people trying it on their own is that...
But, you know, there are people that do that now. There are people that are testing the system every day.
Why don't they publicize that, then?
Well, I think they have. They've actually had stories about people that try to do, to get stuff. They're testing the security all the time, trying to get... You hear stories about that they got certain stuff through.
I don't.
But that guy that called, I mean, you know, he's a dumbass. I think, you know, whatever happens to him, happens to him. It's not his job to police security for everybody.
Well, I guess we...
Well, I have to agree to disagree.
I don't think it's... I mean, if the guy wants to put his nuts on the line, I like knowing that... I don't like knowing that a guy got through.
Right.
But I like knowing that a guy got through and he called to tell people, say, listen, guess what? The system's not working.
Well, I like it when we get a call from the air marshal that called the other day.
Yeah.
He said he was sitting next to Buzz and Lisa.
That was the instant feedback.
That makes me feel good. I'm not sure how, the fact is, I think we all know that security sucks, but they do have people that are trying to, test it and see how it's working. But, this whole thing, I think we're becoming too complacent again. We really are. We got to be careful.
Right. Somebody go vigilantes.
Yeah, you like anybody that does it on their own.
Yeah.
Because of this guy, they had to deplane all the men who had already boarded the plane, and they rounded them all up in a room and detained them there and delayed the flight, and that's kind of the result of that.
Yeah.
Sexism. Here's a story. Fascinating. Last summer, a woman named Jenna Rosa Ammon of Long Island, New York, was in the process of getting a divorce. And then her very rich husband was murdered. And just months later, she married the younger electrician who was wiring her home alarm system.
That's a coincidence.
He was also getting divorced, and he's one of the few people who knew the security code. Now, the widow Ammon and her new husband have moved to England. They say they did it to keep the kids out of the media spotlight. It's the stuff cop shows are made of, and Long Island police are on the case. They say the widow's move to England will not affect their investigation one bit.
Nine.
Six.
Nine. There, I'm in. Hello, darling.
He's gone. You won't have to worry about him anymore.
Buzz, we got a break.
Good.
Okay? All right. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. You like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh. Mama!
They can have coitus without bleeding. Don and Mike.
Not Elvis, he couldn't.
No way, no.
Where are those toe tappers, the touch tones? We'll play for $100, okay? That's make a nice weekend for you. $100?
Very good.
If you're the 100th caller, 877-365-3636, national number.
All right.
Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. New York, WNEW 877-692-1027. Here again is Radio's Guy Elston. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Would Jay Leno and David Letterman have to work harder to entertain us if they had to compete head-to-head with Conan O'Brien?
I believe so.
Oh, most definitely.
TV Guide says the Fox Network is trying to get Conan to come over to their side for a late-night talk show. Conan will have to give that some serious thought. Fox's other two attempts at late-night talk, Joan Rivers and Chevy Chase, went down in flames. But
you know, there's no doubt that I'm a Letterman fan. I TiVo Letterman every night, and I like him when he's cranky. Mm-hmm. I like him when he's funny. And I hate Leno. But really, which show, day in, day out, is the funniest?
Mm-hmm.
It's Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. Conan O'Brien, I think, has the most innovative and trailblazing show because he throws stuff up against the wall and sees what sticks. Right. Whereas Leno, certainly doesn't do that at all, and Letterman doesn't do it as much as he used to.
Yeah, Letterman's big into having the guys on his staff do stuff, and sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not, and I'll give him credit. Like, when they have the two guys come out and read the Oprah transcripts,
right?
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes he does stuff with the building engineer that's not funny. Right.
And I think I've seen, Biff's fine, but I think Biff is a little overused.
Yeah, I don't need Biff's big, giant ass putting the pins into the board when they read the mail.
No, thank you very much.
But I am on Conan's show. I am not sick of him driving the desk with people.
No, not at all.
I never get sick of that bit. Never.
And Conan can reach more people at 11 p.m. Eastern than he does at 1:35 in the morning.
And don't forget the dog. Who doesn't love the dog?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I'm this guy over here. I'm stupid.
My name is this guy.
And I'm an idiot.
When they did that thing with Bon Jovi, it's one of the funniest bits I've ever seen.
Ever.
Conan O'Brien's deal at NBC is up in September, but Letterman's contract with CBS runs out in May, and he's considered a long shot for Fox as well.
There's no way Letterman's going to Fox.
No way. They've done it all. You know, say what he does about CBS. They've done an awful lot for him here in this city.
Yeah, he's staying where he's at right now.
God, Letterman's contract is up already?
Yeah, in May.
Wow.
Before ours. That sucks.
Patience. A German man says he's very sorry he beat his pet parrot to death. Berlin police say the man's been fined $925 for the fatal attack.
I will kill you, you parrot!
The 41-year-old says his girlfriend had just left him, and the bird seemed to be taunting him.
Bird.
Quoting the man, Charlie wouldn't stop screeching.
You're a stupid man.
So I punched him.
Ah, stupid man.
I'm so sorry. He was a good friend.
Stupid man. Ow.
In sports, we find out this weekend who's going to the bowl. The NFL Conference Championships are Sunday. The New England at Pittsburgh for the AFC crown and the
bowl
Eagles.
Bowl going to the bowl.
At St. Louis for the NFC title.
Rams Steelers.
And finally, smoking is not allowed in the jail at Newton, Massachusetts. So when guards noticed that 40-year-old prisoner Joseph Hall was smoking in his cell, they confiscated the cigarette. He said he didn't have any more, and the guards didn't see any more, but minutes later they saw him smoking another cigarette. Again, they searched and confiscated, and then they saw him smoking a third cigarette. There was only one place he could have been hiding, the pack and the lighter.
These cigarettes taste like butt.
The blood on the bench he had been sitting on confirmed the guard's suspicions.
Oh, God.
So did the tape that showed him defecating just before he lighted the fourth cigarette.
Oh, God.
I'm Buzz Burbank. Smoke them if you got them on the Don and Mike Show.
That's a good one. Now,
that's a kicker.
Didn't know if you made that one up or not, but that's a good one, Buzz.
That's all saving the best for last.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for all the phone calls. Thank you again to everybody at NEW. Be back at home at WJFK on Monday. Don't hurt yourselves. Have a great weekend. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Need a little sunshine in your life?
Oh, yes.
Join our own Lisa Dill Herndon tomorrow at CBS. It's on Lee Highway. A Spout Run from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Stop by, take a lot of contact, and share the joy.
All right.
That is the Lisa Herndon Show. All right, let's get on. Call 100.
Lisa Herndon Show.
Right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, am I the 100th caller?
Oh, I wish you were, but you weren't assertive.
I am the 100th caller.
No.
Too late.
Blue ass. Hello. Don Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am calling 100.
There you go. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Dan.
Dan, where are you from?
Dan,
$100.
Nice.
Take
beat the Redskins video.
Yeah, beats the Redskins. Listen, beats all the stuff I got. We got to get some better prizes. So for now, just please enjoy the cash. $100 and our thanks for listening. Hold on a second, please. Don't forget that Monday, we're announcing the winner of the Las Vegas Style Show contest. Although I was just conferencing with executive producer Charles Broyhill. And I believe that Charlie has it right. Sometimes a boy offers good advice. What we're going to do is we're going to get it down to 5 finalists on Monday.
Okay.
And each of us will have a vote, and we'll let you guys listening vote via the internet. Then what we're going to do is say we've got a winner.
Right.
And it's in one of these 5 cities.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to announce on the air who the winner is or exactly what city or suburb we're going to, because there's always the outside shot that, let's say,
right,
we say we're going to Buzz Burbank's house in Fairfax, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the neighbors get together,
yeah,
and they call the cops.
Shut it down.
And the cops come in, even though, yeah, it's in
so
a
so we're
going to
keep
home
the location secret. We'll keep it between us and the winner.
Yes, right. But we will
we'll tell the winner.
We'll narrow it down to the 5 letters that we like best, the 5 cities, and then privately we will contact the winner. And I guess you'll have to wait until the Monday after the party to find out exactly who won. But that's pretty good from the Great Ape House.
He's excellent. Sneaky. He's the guy that crawled through the drop ceiling.
That's why we used to use him as the Tom Cruise on our show.
Because, absolutely.
You know, I could see that happening. Whether it's Sacramento or San Francisco or New York or D.C. or Baltimore.
Yeah, they'd cause a problem.
We announce that we're going. All the neighbors get upset. They call the cops. The cops come over. And
more
then,
fun if we keep it kind of like private time.
So it's secret.
Cool. Yeah, nice and secret.
But it's your last weekend to get your entries in. Fax us your letters and tell us why the Las Vegas Style Show should come to your home.
Go ahead, enter.
1-800-636-6410. That's the toll-free fax number. We'll have the winner on Monday. Also Monday, Michael Weiss from the Olympics will be on the show. Buzz, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Mike, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Don.
Rob?
Take time to be kind.
Can you be kind, Rob?
I can.
Really, can you?
Yes.
Okay, throw your hat in the air, please, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh, now, Mike. Okay, anger management. Okay, see ya. See ya Monday.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind.
Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.